And now, the thrilling continuation of the SML podcast.
Frederick, that you talked to, basically just posted that we have these guys wanting to do a podcast at 2 a.m. and I can't do it. So anyone else? I was like, well, when is it? Thursday? Okay, I guess I can do it. Usually do a, I've done a few of these things before where I do interviews with people from the States.
Are you at least getting paid overtime?
Well, we always do whenever we're working. But I mean, we don't get paid anything. So getting paid overtime is, oh, we do get paid something, but it's very little. So overtime is really not worth much.
Do you get a gold star on your name at the studio? Just a big board of people's names and there's a star next to yours that you did something good?
Maybe, maybe not.
You should make them start that. Demand changes.
I'll tell him you said that.
Listen here, Frederick. Christopher deserves a gold star, and I will not hear any other shenanigans. And my cat is jumping on my desk. Yeah, I was watching him play it yesterday, and it was just, oh, god damn, oh, fuck me, god, oh, god, I am so stupid, god damn it.
Yeah, I definitely didn't rage quit that one. It's like, fuck this, all right, fuck it, I'll be back at 5 with Binding of Isaac, fuck this game.
Yeah, it was fun watching you.
We had this one stream called Video Games Awesome, I think, or something. And they played it for people locally, and they were supposed to just played a bit, like for an hour or so. They got stuck on this trial just at the end, and they played it nonstop for like an hour extra just to finish that trial. And it was like one level that they just kept trying and kept trying and kept trying.
That's
and
awesome.
At the end, they tried like 20 times or something. That's and he sounds like they went, fuck your game. It's fucking awesome.
And then that they sounds like me with any NES game.
Yeah, we should probably get this started though, so might as well kick it off. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm still Pappy.
Yeah. No Chris this week. We're not too sure what his status with the show is. He might be bowing out shortly due to band obligations. But thankfully, I have this thing called a microphone of my own now. Thank you,
You're
Pappy.
Welcome.
And gonna keep it going no matter what, so SML forever. Anyway, as you guys already heard, we have two guests on the show this week. The first one, the important one at least, is calling in all the way from Denmark, where it is 2 in the morning. Christopher, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
And our other guest is from Canada, so just whatever.
Canada.
Yeah. So
Canada.
Sean, aka popular Twitch streamer Shiz Blacka.
Popular. That's funny. What's up?
Allegedly.
Legend. No.
Legend.
So anyway, obviously the important thing is our wonderful game developer that we have joining us today. So, Christopher, would you like to tell us a bit about who you are, what you do, and the game you work on?
Yeah, sure. So I'm from a small company called Beta Dwarf. We're located in Denmark, as you said. I'm the producer and one of the game designers on the team, so I do a lot of organization and some work on the creative side of the game. And I switch around a lot between different things. Currently we're working on two different projects. We're supporting our first game, Forest, which was just released on consoles. And we're doing another game, which is currently in limbo with its name, because we're kind of in a conflict regarding the name. But now it's called Forest Eternal Arenas. And we're doing a Kickstarter for that one at the moment, actually. But I'm personally working on Force 1 and doing the console ports and stuff like that.
Nice. So tell us, for those who haven't played the game Forced, give us basically the sales pitch. Tell us what the game is and why we should buy it.
Okay, the game is a co-op game, first, foremost, and all the way through. You should buy it because it's the greatest experience sitting in the couch with three of your friends, booting up the game, realizing it's so damn difficult that you start hating your friends for being totally bad at the game, and in the end prevailing over these challenges and then having a great laugh around it. It's amazing how many friendships we've heard we've destroyed, but it's also great how many friendships we've heard we've built, actually.
Luckily for me, I'm playing it alone because I don't have friends.
It can be played alone. There's a single-player aspect to it, but it's built for co-op, so I'll admit that the single-player feels a little bit tacked on. But it does work, and it can be played.
It's a lot of fun.
Different stuff. Yeah, so, Joe, some people think it's a lot of fun in single-player as well.
Joe, knowing my gaming abilities, would this ruin our friendship?
What friendship?
Or would you just assume that I'm going to be terrible at it when we inevitably play this?
Basically, yeah. My multiplayer experience so far was the other night I hopped on Twitch and XBLA Fans was playing the game, the streamer Memories of Final. And I was like, hey, have you played this yet? He's like, no, this is my first time. I'm like, I've played it a bit if you want to do some online stuff. And we ended up getting a group of four people. The other three basically ran around not knowing what the hell to do because they didn't pay attention to the tutorials at all. While I'm trying to pull the orb to like break all the statues and everything else. But every time I tried pulling the orb to me, someone else is like, oh, I want the orb. So,
oh, true. Yeah. You got to share it.
Yep. We actually had some fans sharing a video on the forums called Balfour's Wars, where they basically competed for control of the orb. Whoever could spam the button the fastest was the winner.
That's awesome.
Jeez.
So, that's a small mini game.
Nowhere fast.
I do like it when people get into a game and then create a game inside of it, though. You know, especially when it ends up being entertaining to watch.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun experience, though. Eventually, I think we got up to trial 8, something like that, and then it was,
I'm on 12.
I think 3 hours passed at the time, so I just called it a night there. But I'm honestly shocked you made it to 12 by yourself, Shiz.
I'm the greatest, man. You've seen my streams. I never rage. I always beat everything instantly, and,
super calm.
Super calm. Never swear.
See, that's
difficulty. So it's the arenas are handcrafted for 1, 2, and 3, and 4. So there's a lot more stuff going on in 4-player.
You know what I noticed that I liked is I was telling Joe yesterday when I was streaming it. It reminded me a bit of the Lara Croft games like Guardian of Light and Temple of Osiris because they scale up the more players that you have as well. The puzzles become more complex and harder and all that. And reminded me of that because I played it solo, but I watched videos of 2 and 4 players, and it definitely gets pretty crazy.
Yeah. There's actually specific levels where we've changed the puzzles from single to multiplayer because there are puzzles you can't do in single player that we wanted to do in multiplayer.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, it's very inspired by the Lara Croft games, actually.
That makes sense.
The team, some of the team members were playing it at the beginning of the development, and it heavily influenced the whole co-op aspect of it.
Definitely picked a good influence.
I like that your Steam edition is called the slightly better edition.
that's sort of when we did this when we were preparing the console launch, and we did a bunch of stuff to make it more interesting and update the game. We fixed a bunch of stuff, we optimized some things, and we wanted to introduce new content. Then when the console was sort of getting done, we wanted to bring it to Steam as well. And so we updated the game recently with that as well. And basically, the slightly better edition was a stab at people calling it director's cut and stuff like that, because we all know that it's not actually that much better.
I wish more developers would do that and just have fun with how they name the title.
the We Fixed a Few Bugs edition.
This one works edition.
Assassin's awesome. Creed.
I really like being a console peasant myself. That's really funny to me.
We're all console peasants on the show, especially if Chris is leaving the show. He was like the last bastion of any form of PC solidarity.
After the weekend or this last week, I'm doing a few more Steam things, but that's about it.
But I mean, like back to the days when Tim was still on the show, who was hardcore PC Master Race.
I mean, if I have an option between an Xbox, a game on Xbox One and PC, I'm buying it on the Xbox.
Yeah, one of our old co-hosts, Tim, he was the guy that even on an episode where we were, like when the PS4 and the Xbox One came out, we did like a Sony-specific episode and we focused on Xbox. We did a Nintendo-themed one. He found a way to talk about PC games in any of them.
That's too good.
Yeah.
It's like me with Twitch. They'll be like, yeah, this weather's crazy. I know, right? So anyways, I'm streaming this game, right?
Well, your dad's in the hospital, but anyway, this game I was playing the other day, this streamer.
Man, you got to tell him about this game I played.
Maybe it'll cheer him up.
Exactly.
This idiot viewer came in, started watching me, so I started pelting people in the heads with the baseball, and it just caught on.
Man, that was amazing. That was the funniest thing ever.
The Joe Cam special.
Now, when does Forced come out for consoles, or is that already out?
It's out.
It actually came out like 2 days ago.
All right, so Joe,
it was Tuesday, right?
Weekend?
Yeah. Well, it was on Tuesday for the Americas, and it was on Wednesday on PS4, and it was on Wednesday for Xbox, the whole world, and for the European version on PlayStation 4.
How has the console response been so far? I know it's early.
It's been okay. We haven't sold quite as much as we might have hoped for. But then again, it's really hard to push the news. It's like a 2-year-old small indie game on consoles in the fourth quarter. We're competing with Halo and stuff like that. So
yeah.
We weren't expecting too much attention, but we're still trying to push it. Hopefully we'll get some more press articles and stuff like that.
And it is still early. It's only been a few days, so.
Yeah, so we can't say yet.
People might be waiting for their paycheck on the weekend.
A lot of people waiting for PS Plus features and stuff like that as well. We've seen a greater response in Europe because there's a PS Plus discount there. We couldn't get one for the Americas because it messed up and couldn't make it in time. So it seems like we've sold more on the European side.
Well, but cheaper prices will do that, I guess.
That makes sense. There's sometimes where I'm like, am I going to get this game? And then I'm like, if I get it today, it's 12 instead of 15. Why not? I know I'm going to get it eventually, so might as well get it now. That could be a factor.
Yeah. A lot of comments on the...
I'll pick this game up now while we're doing the podcast, and then this weekend Joe and I will play. And I will count how many times he swears at me.
I could swear at you plenty. Like,
I mean, because
you mean
of the game.
Oh, okay. Because otherwise, just go fuck yourself. There's one. You're a piece of shit.
The over-under on me frustrating Joe inadvertently is probably 25.
Triple digits. Oh, you son of a bitch. What are you doing? No, get over here. You're going to die if you leave the... you're dead.
What are you talking about?
That's exactly how it's going to be. Play by play.
We'll have to get Shiz in the game as well, and then the three of us will just lose our goddamn minds together.
Don't do that to yourself.
This game is brutally tough. Was that an intentional thing to go with a game that's going to make people rip their hair out if they have it, which I don't?
I noticed that on the title just before. I muted the game in case I play it while we're talking about it. And the menu's like, this game is made to be brutal. Play it with friends or you're going to die.
Well, we actually introduced that for the slightly better edition because we wanted people to sort of have a different approach to the game than initially. We wanted to see if we could put them in the mindset where they knew that this game was supposed to be difficult. So they didn't feel that it was unforgiving, but rather it was meant as a challenge. Whether it's worked or not, I'm not really sure, because a lot of people are still telling us that it's way too difficult. But
yeah. At least you say it flat out.
Not if that's the design of the game, that's what you're going for. If people suck at the game, that's not your fault.
No, but I mean, if they were expecting a different experience, then we maybe could have provided that to them. And we've certainly learned a lot from Forced 1 and are bringing that with us for Forced Eternal Arenas, in how people approach these kinds of games and how they look at them. Because we look a lot like a Diablo type of game, even though we're not mechanically a Diablo type of game. So people are expecting something a lot different. They're expecting to hack and slash and to bash monsters. And suddenly they get actually getting eaten by the monsters, which is a completely new experience for them.
I do that in Diablo too, so nothing new.
Yeah, I think the easiest way I found to describe it to people is a brutally hard arena-based Diablo puzzler.
Yeah,
that makes sense. That's a good description.
That's about as close as I could get it. And people will be like, is there loot? No, but... you don't need loot because you're too busy dying.
Yeah. I got time to pick that shit up. I'm on fire.
Exactly. If they dropped anything, I would just avoid it.
It's like, oh man, a legendary dropped 3 feet away from me. Fuck it, I'm already over here. I'm not going back there.
I'm going wherever the enemy tells me I can.
Yeah, it seems every time that I've watched people play it or I've played it myself, especially multiplayer, the biggest difficulty I've seen is in the enemies that swarm you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those, I mean, it scales with how quickly you're trying to do the arenas, because we've tweaked these things a lot and made sure that it gets harder if you're trying to do things really quickly and trying to push the limit. And it gets easier if you take your time and say, okay, let's clear the arena and then figure out how to proceed with the objective. If you keep completing objectives all the time while not killing off any enemies, you're suddenly ending up with the arena full of enemies.
I mean,
that's a small touch that people might not realize until they've played it a lot.
Yeah, I didn't notice that myself. I thought I was just terrible at killing
everything.
Last night
when I stopped rushing... last night, I was actually beating the trials, and I was like, oh, that makes sense. I also noticed, though, the times are probably going to be impossible in single player.
Well, that shouldn't be, because the times as well are actually customized for 1, 2, 3, and 4 player.
Really? Okay, well, then
so
I just sucked.
The times
thought,
are a lot
cool.
shorter on multiplayer than on single player.
Okay.
Yeah, you're just bad, Sean.
You can suddenly juggle the orb a lot easier. And that makes for faster times.
There's definitely a heavy, heavy emphasis on teamwork in this game.
Yeah, even if it's just you and the orb. you got to pay so much attention to that orb. That thing got me so screwed so many times until Joe was like, you know, you could hold X, right, and it'll stay with you. Okay.
It's like they covered that in the tutorial. Level. Oh, yeah, they did.
Yeah, but I was looking at chat, and I'm dumb. Don't forget, the most important part is I'm dumb.
And that's why you fit perfectly on this show.
Nice. Aw.
Oh, no, our show is terrible. I hate the hosts, so.
Yeah man. Fucking nerds.
But that one guy in Vegas is pretty cool.
No.
No.
Just no.
Now I'm actually hearing about this game from all of you guys. I'm actually really excited to play it because I do enjoy co-op with people I know. And it does seem built like the kind of game where you get really into chat and you're talking to each other like, okay, you do this, I'll do this, like actual cooperation.
Yeah, cooperation and communication is going to be like make or break, I think.
Yeah, part of me thinks it might be easier as a couch co-op than an online co-op.
Yeah, it should be, because it's easier to coordinate, and you also don't have the risk of lag spikes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Pl- Plus, when you're like, I want you to stand here, you can point on the screen to you stand here, hit the button when I tell you, instead of trying to describe it over a headset.
Oh, God, no. Now, I already see that being a problem. Happy, go stand by that tree. This one? No. That tree. The tree next to me. Oh, the one behind you? No, you son of a bitch.
You're in the lava the now. How did you get in the lava? There is no lava on this stage. How are you in lava?
I found it. It's a secret.
It's an Easter egg. I had to. Oh, man.
So I know Beta Dwarf had an interesting history being formed that I have read about on Reddit and Imgur. What kind of fun stories are there behind the creation of Beta Dwarf?
Well, the long story short is that it started as a student project, actually, on a university outside the city of Copenhagen. And the guys decided to get together, like 8 people, and start a company and start working on a game that they could release. They're doing this while they're working on their educations, right? The game development educations. And at some point, it just takes longer and longer and longer. And they realize that we need more time to do this, and we need to focus on the game. And so they find this classroom at the campus that's abandoned and no one seems to be using it. And at the start of summer, they just move into it and they decide to make it their office, right? So they keep working across the summer full time and it's going forwards. And when the classes roll around again, no one comes to tell them that they can't be in the classroom. So they just stick around, and slowly they sort of figure that they should move in some stuff to get comfortable, right? You should move in some couches and maybe a refrigerator and a microwave. Suddenly mattresses show up and people are sleeping there, and they figure, well, why do I even have an apartment? I'll just quit my apartment and I'm spending all my time in this classroom anyway. And then you've got these 12 guys living in a classroom on campus for like 7 months before they get discovered.
7 months.
And
oh my God.
Obviously, when the teacher walks in and they're sitting there in their underpants brushing their teeth, she's like,
having a beer on the sofa. That's amazing.
And we needed a solution, like an emergency solution. So we searched for the cheapest place to live in Denmark, and we found a house that everyone could move into, keeping it as sort of a collective thing. Everyone just lived together for, that was a year, roughly, yeah.
Wow. So basically the game studio got started the same way a drug den is formed.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's what happened. And everybody was high and they were like, yo, you want to make a game? Man, that's
the
best story
ever.
I'm
not sure there's that big of a difference either, actually.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, eventually...
When I was in college, whenever there were 8 or more of us in a room, we were just wondering what party to go to, not, hey, we should start a business.
That's so funny.
Are we the party now? There's 9 of us. Are we the party now? Well, better call people.
Nope, we're a business now.
Someone order pizza.
Nice.
It wasn't too much time for partying.
So you really spent 7 years basically squatting in a classroom, or 7 months, sorry.
Months, yeah.
Squatting in a classroom.
Yeah.
I mean,
you do what you have to do, right?
That's awesome.
Was it like a hidden wing of the school that no one ever walked to? Do you have to enter like a password to get down that hallway?
I think it was like a combination of people not knowing exactly what was going on and then just assuming that whatever was going on was planned. And
I love that human nature.
And no one leaving the classroom, that it was just like, well, we're not going to disturb them.
Like, was there never a janitor that walked in? It's like, oh, hey, why is there dirty laundry over here?
Well, obviously, a lot of subterfuge was involved in the whole deal. You had to get to the bathroom. You had to sort of dodge down the corridors and avoid getting noticed because you're there at like 6 in the morning in your underpants just running down the corridor. And you had to sort of keep the janitors at peace and give them like a bottle of wine once in a while so that friends with them, right? No one would tell anyone else about you.
Wow.
Oh.
Someone's like, hey, are you supposed to be here? It's like, yeah, it's a research experiment. Don't worry. This is a study. It's a group study thing.
I just have that like mental image of it's 6 a.m. and I'm in my underwear trying to have a piss and I bring like that bottle of wine just in case I get caught. I'm like, shh, here, I got this for you, man. I just really need to piss. I'm sorry.
Did you ever get to the point where you had pee buckets in the classroom?
No, not quite.
Okay.
That's what windows are for, Joe.
Yes.
Oh.
Downstairs neighbors are pissed, but whatever, it works.
Pissed. I mean, that joke sounded forced.
Oh, God damn it.
Wow. I'm sorry. I'll leave.
Eventually, we actually managed to raise funds with the Kickstarter project and move to a proper office so that we could be closer to the city and have some talented people join us that couldn't go to the house we had outside Copenhagen. And then we wrapped up force there. Which turned out all right.
Is it still clothing optional, just lounge in your underwear kind of office?
Well, I'll say this much. There was this summer, last summer, where it was really hot at the office, and we don't have any air conditioning, and the climate is just really crappy. And I turn around, and there's the CEO walking around in his underwear, because it's too hot for pants, right? And he's just walking through the office, like, casually, and whatever. And that's not unusual, for that matter, so it's pretty chill.
That is fantastic.
Wow. This is like, oh, that's the best story ever.
These are the stories that we love having this podcast for. Like, anybody could ask about, oh, well, how many polygons make up the shield weapon in the game? But we're like, how did you not get caught walking around a school in your underwear after being there nonstop for 7 months?
Yeah, it's a mystery sometimes.
That is, what other fun stories do you have? Like, there's got to be more. I just want this to be the Christopher story hour now.
I'm surprised that you made Forced another stealth game, to be honest.
That's the next title.
It's a completely different game. I mean, Forced started out as a Facebook game, I think. Like, it was supposed to be 3 months development, release a Facebook game, keep it updated. Then the whole development took 3 years. So yeah, that's it always changes.
What led to changing it over to a PC and then console game?
Sorry, that is a... Yeah, what really did we do this?
There's some really old decisions.
Well, we were really drunk at the time.
And I think it was just like trying to do it first. I think... I can't even remember what the Facebook design was all about. The earliest designs I can remember are actually twin stick, like top down thing. So that part's been in the game for a while. But getting it on PC and on consoles was always the aim, because we wanted to design it for a controller so it could be played in both places. That was sort of one of the main limits of developing the game, was having to use a controller for everything, because you have so many buttons on a keyboard. Again, about the whole PC master race thing, you have so much space to work with when you're developing for a PC. But we wanted to make the design so that it fit with a controller, so that when it eventually got to a console, it wouldn't feel like a bad port, but would be a game designed for that experience as well.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, it definitely feels perfect on controller.
Even when I'm playing Steam games, if I can use a controller, I will.
Yeah, if I can't use a controller on a Steam game, I'm like, what else can I play?
Yeah, honestly, once I start streaming some PC games, if they don't work with the Xbox controller, it's just, all right, peace, I'll see you later.
I can't do it. Maybe it's just growing up, you know, playing more games on a controller, but it just feels more natural, you know? And I know there's always going to be those people, like, I had a friend in high school who just loved the BattleTech games, but I felt like if you had to hotkey half of your keyboard in order to play the game, then that was more work than game.
Yeah, I just can't do a keyboard and mouse. I don't know why.
I can barely do the up, down, left, right arrows. Like, I'll confuse those.
Every game needs to be compatible with the NES controller. Two buttons.
Nice.
Two buttons and a D-pad. So when's the NES version of Forest releasing, by the way?
I would say never.
Good call.
Oh, man.
The A button does these 15 things, depending on your proximity to enemies.
We actually did dabble in a Wii U port for a while, and it was terrible.
Oh, yeah.
See, I would think that might actually be kind of cool, having your own dedicated screen as well.
Yeah.
Because the controls being a pain, though. You have to swing your...
There were a lot of things with it. Like, it seemed like the only really good solution for the controls would be for people to have the Pro controller. So that limited it to even fewer people being able to play it on the platform. And otherwise getting this really weird experience, because we need all the buttons we're using. We can't let any of them go.
Yeah,
because the game is so hard, as you pointed out, right?
You're not making a casual hop in, play for 15 minutes, hop out kind of game.
No, exactly, and Wii games are more casual. I mean, so it didn't really fit well with the type of demographic, and it didn't fit well with the controller, and it also had a lot of technical issues.
We ended up
not really going further with it.
There's always the NX, right?
The NX.
Whenever that Nintendo's next, whenever that comes out.
Ah, yeah.
Codename NX. The rumor being it is a console handheld hybrid. So who knows?
It's actually it's a 14-inch DS.
I'd buy it. Fuck it.
It comes with its own pair of JNCOs, so you can put it in the back pocket.
Dude, give me an iPad with a controller stapled onto it, and I'm good playing games on that. The one thing I hate about playing games on mobile is not having a controller. So staple a controller and we're good.
Wait,
you don't like the virtual controllers that they're making?
Not really. Like, do you mean like the on-screen controllers or like the Bluetooth controllers?
No, I'm thinking the on-screen thing where like they simulate the dual stick.
I am terrible with those. I tried playing Secret of Mana on my iPad and it was just a nightmare for me. I need tactile feedback. I need to be able to see and feel what I'm doing.
Mm. Plus, controllers have been designed to be more and more ergonomic, whereas now you're just laying your hands uncomfortably on a flat surface and hoping they're touching the right buttons.
Yeah, now I recently started to like actually play mobile games, and I am so useless because I don't have my controller. I hate it.
Yeah, I'm good with mobile games that are designed to be a mobile game, where it's all touchscreen gameplay. You know, if it's like an auto runner, you just tap the side of the screen to jump, the other side to shoot. I can handle that. But when you try taking Chrono Trigger from the Super Nintendo that had a D-pad and 10 different buttons on the controller, and you try to put it on an iPad, I can't do it.
Yeah, I'm tearing up Bejeweled, and then I go to Halo Spartan Strike to try to get all the achievements again, and I'm like, okay, this is a terrible decision.
This is why I wasn't doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean we're going to see Forced Hit Mobile?
The most difficult experience ever.
No, not either. Probably not. It's
now that we've shit all over the mobile experience, are you bringing it to mobile?
Right after you said that he needs a keyboard. Oh, man.
I did have this Apple guy trying to sell me on the idea of developing Yes, they've been selling a lot of turtles for iPads, apparently.
Well, you could always do the forced jewel matching game.
Oh, God.
A match 3 version?
Yes, and when you match 5, it creates the orb. And then then you could tap somewhere and it pulls the orb over to that side of the screen, destroying everything in the way.
Exactly.
This idea is money. You should be writing this shit down.
Fucking money.
Yeah, you'll see it in a week. And then we'll have like a mobile version.
it's gonna change the pictures on a Bejeweled game and yes. All the day.
If I was to make a mobile game, I would not make a match 3. I'm pretty sure it would just be too boring.
That's good to hear. We have enough of them.
Except, actually, there are some really good match 3 games out there. Recently tried this game called Ironcast, and it was amazing.
But and then there was watching Joe play a Frozen match game because it was free.
Fuck yeah, Frozen Freefall, man.
Frozen is the shit. I have it on both of my boxes. What up?
Yeah, the only reason he played it, it's free. I get to play it like 3 times a day for free.
See, I got my backup from Shiz here.
And then my 360. Oh, yeah. I have my 360 also. When I run out of lives on the one, I go to the 360 and achievement hunt on that one. What you know about it, playboy? No, that game is fun as hell, though. I really like the microtransactions, too, how they make sure that you die in 27 seconds. And then they're like, hey, do you want to buy 5 lives for $18? It's the best.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, I'm exaggerating, but the microtransactions in that game are brutal.
They are. I haven't spent a penny yet, and I never will, which is why I've only gotten as far as I have. But thankfully,
I streamed it like once.
I actually don't like that, though, because they're deliberately marketing to kids jumping on and using their parents' money.
Oh, exactly. Like, I hate the microtransactions. I was just sarcastic. It's dumb as hell.
So let's talk about the free-to-play version of Forced. You're out of lives.
Yeah. If you would like to win round one.
You need to buy the crystals to level up.
We wanted the second game to be free-to-play at one point. With microtransactions, but not in the way you're describing.
See, if microtransactions are done right, I don't have a problem with it. Like if it's a lot of cosmetic stuff, I'm cool with that, you know, whatever. But if it's basically pay $10 to get the most powerful item in the game and then no one will kill you, that's kind of shitty.
Or if it's pay $10 to get the end of the game.
I like the microtransactions where it's like Halo Spartan Strike had Spartan Assault was the first one. Anyways, it was basically just you spend money to buy credits. So it's like, do you want to grind XP or just buy credits, which comes out to the same thing. So if you want to save time, you have the option to spend $5, but you don't have to do it if you don't want to.
Yeah.
Honestly,
if you want the rocket launcher, then empty your wallet, bro.
Yeah, I just prefer them to be cosmetics. Like, I think Saints Row did a good job with those. You know, hey, you want to buy an outfit pack, you know.
And Minecraft, too, they do a good job with that. They do, like, so much free DLC, and then they'll charge you, like, $2-3 for 40 skins. I have no problem shelling out that money.
Yeah, when it's done right. It's just the problem is most companies don't even bother thinking about done right. They think about how can we milk the customer.
Yeah, and that's something that we can actually talk about later on in the show when it comes to the ever dreaded comparison behind Rock Band and Guitar Hero. I've got a chunk to talk about there, but for now we'll stay focused on Forced so that poor Christopher could get some sleep soon.
Either way, man, I'm down to talk about Forced. It's awesome. I really want to go back and play it now. Like, keep talking about it.
And then I'll watch you on Twitch cursing like, why'd I say I want to play this fucking game, God?
Yeah, it's exactly what's going to happen. I'd be like, man, I used to talk about this game. I'm hype, guys. You hype? Never mind. This game sucks. it's a lot of fun. And I have very, very limited patience, especially because I'm working on so many games at once that if I'm stuck on a level for like 10 minutes, I'm just like, okay, I don't have time for this shit. Fuck off. This game, I kept dying and dying.
Hello?
I'm going to try to get a bitch-ass achievement while we do this. I'm going to just mute this shit. Audio. None, please.
I'm going to keep all of this.
Okay, no problem. I don't care.
All right, everyone. We are back, kind of. Let me do a quick little explanation. Shiz here was in the middle of explaining something about dying a lot, and then I had an issue with my internet at the house, and the call disconnected. I got everybody back on call, hit record. We then did another hour and a half of the show, and I exported it, and I went to edit everything and listen to it, and the entire hour and a half that came after that disconnection was corrupted. So right now, it is just me back, along with Mr. Shizblacka.
Yes, sir.
And Pappy is asleep, because instead of 8 o'clock, it is now 1 in the morning. So it's like 10 for him, and he's the pussy. And then, nice. Mr. Christopher from Beta Dwarf, unfortunately, doesn't even know about this yet, probably. I send my deepest apologies to all of Beta Dwarf for the issues and the fact that half of his interview is lost to audio corruption, but it's the two of us, and we're going to do our best to make believe we didn't talk about any of this before.
Did the school story, was it okay?
The school story was in the first half of the interview, so that should be okay. Perfect.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was definitely... I was so happy when I was like, oh my God, did the school story make it? So
yeah, that was,
thankfully...
That was definitely the highlight, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I can't compete with that, man.
So I don't even know where to, like, pick up from here.
Well, I know that it cut out when I was talking about dying a lot, so just so that it doesn't seem like I was ragging on the game...
Yeah, you could finish that story at least.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, what I was saying was, that usually because I'm working on so many games at once and I just already don't have patience to begin with, if I'm just failing over and over and over again, unless it's like for, you know, like my last achievement in a game that I know I can 100%, so I'm just like, whatever, I'll tough it out. Usually I'll just be like, you know what, fuck it, I'm not going to waste my time, I'm done. Whereas with Forced... I forced myself,
you dick.
It was one of those games where it's like, it was almost kind of like Trials, where Trials makes you just want to like punch somebody in the mouth, but you still can't stop playing.
Because you know you can do it, you just need one more try.
Mm-hmm. And then that turns into 58 tries, but you know you can do it, so you're going to do it. And then when you finally beat that trial, you're like, oh my God, I'm so MLG. But no, it's definitely one of those brutal but super rewarding games. And I really, like I said, I only had like an hour and a half with it last night or so. But I really, really enjoyed it. And I definitely like can't wait to play some more. It's not going to be one of those games where I stream on the first night and then I'm like, all right, well, I'll play you whenever I can. I really like I'm impatient to get back to it and at least try to beat it.
Yeah, now that you finished up Tales from the Borderlands.
Man, that was good.
I like
won't say any spoilers, but...
In the time that our show was corrupted and we're back together, you finished beating Tales from the Borderlands.
Mm-hmm. And it was actually a longer episode. It was a good, like, 2.5 hours rather than an hour and a half or two, which I kind of expected because it was the finale. But...
Man, when the planet exploded and everybody died, I was just like, oh my God.
Right? When it turned out that Reese was actually Handsome Jack all along. Man, no, but that was really, really good. I'd heard
the alien invasion and then Godzilla showed up. It was just nuts.
And Godzilla stole the show, in my opinion.
You guys should check it out.
Oh, man.
Some games that we can talk about since that's the whole reason that we're re-recording this part at 1 in the morning.
I hate that we don't have my like genuine shock.
I know, it hurts to like, we've only ever had to re-record an episode one time in the past, and that was, I don't remember if this is in the first half of the episode or not, but our former co-host, Tim, how he was hardcore PC of about everything.
Yeah.
The week that we did our Xbox episode, you know, favorite Xbox games, our first Xbox experiences with the original, the 360, what we're expecting out of the Xbox One... He made it his goal in life to talk about the PC as much as humanly possible during that.
Oh, for sure.
Which drove everybody pretty nuts, and it actually ended with the last, I want to say, 20 minutes of the episode without me talking. I just oh, wow. sat
you
there
were just
like,
done.
I'm so fucking done with this. And we had another guest on, my one friend Amanda. She was there for it. And after the show, everyone left, and I just sat in my living room silent, because this is back when all of us were around each other and we actually did the show together.
Okay, like the same room type thing?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Originally, the original show was me and two friends sat around a table talking about games. The first
That's
friend, Bogue, had
works.
To leave.
Awesome.
Yeah, our okay. first friend, Bogue, had to leave because his now wife got into a car wreck. And he needed to stay home and help with the kids and everything else.
Yeah, that's a little bit more important than talking about games.
Yeah, and that's when Chris stepped in. Then Chris and I did it with Tim for quite a while longer. Again, all of us together, because Chris and Tim were real life friends before I even met Chris. Eventually, Tim kind of just drifted away from the show, and Chris and I kept it going. And then Pappy, who's my friend since middle school, he joined the show, and he's calling in from Vegas every week, so it kind of lost the whole friends bullshitting about games around a table kind of deal. But a tangent off of a tangent, that episode is where Tim just wouldn't shut up at all about PC games, and after he left, we, like, everyone saw I was super pissed off. Amanda,
sure.
she felt like it was her fault or something, so she just kind of was like, hey, I'm heading out. And then Chris hung around, and we started talking a bit about how annoyed I was that Tim just couldn't stop making everything about the PC, even though numerous times we tried steering him back. And we made the decision that we talked with Amanda, and the next night, just the three of us recorded the episode.
Yeah, I mean, if I could definitely understand if that episode was supposed to be about, like, yo, so what do you want from the Xbox One? I want it to be like PC, bro. I can definitely understand why that pissed you off. I'd
yeah,
pissed off too.
But my big thing with this show is it's always supposed to be a spontaneous, you know, free-flowing, whatever happens kind of thing, but we just lost so much of this show.
Oh, man, it happens. I've had so many streams recently. Now, at least, I don't want to jinx it, but the past couple of weeks, I haven't really had any problems with Twitch, other than the fact that after, like, 10 minutes of streaming, it'll just stop saying what game I play.
Yeah.
Or, like, when I was playing Sleeping Dogs, it's like, it says Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition, then it just disappears, and then all of a sudden, my only option is Sleeping Dogs.
Huh. That's weird.
Yeah, it happened with Dishonored. I don't know. I've had right as the stream is getting crazy, it crashes, stuff like that. So I definitely feel your pain. Lately, it's been going well, but there was an entire week straight where every stream I was doing was just fucking up, and I was like hard resetting my Xbox every single time before doing it, and like no matter what I did, it just didn't agree. So I was like, cool, I'll just roll with it and try not to kill myself.
Oh man, I'm trying to see if I still have those other emails.
Yeah, you had the emails from Zach.
Zach and Chris sent one in. Here they are. Well, this is the first time I'm looking at this email. So.
Yeah, I was like, Chris sent an email? I don't remember that.
Oh, it's, you know, rumor has it and all. Let's see. Zach writes in, I just listened to episode 130 where Nick Hagman discussed the games he's playing on a DDR pad. Thought I should mention this time I used my old dance pad. It was a proper metal one, blah, 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 $250. He said a bunch of shit. He played Halo with his friend Dan. they played to 25 kills, and I was on the dance pad. He had a controller. Now, mind you, using the dance pad, I didn't have many options for movement. I could walk forward, backwards, strafe left and right, no turning. I could jump with the front left square and melee with the front right. That's it. No grenades, no picking up or firing guns. Miraculously, I got the first kill as I was able to sneak up behind him and bash him in the back. And that was the only kill I got. I lost the match 1-25. Even so, it was insanely fun and really hilarious. That is a hilarious story, Zach. I never heard that before in my life.
Now, that's honestly pretty fucking impressive that he got a kill, honestly.
Yeah, it is shocking that he did get a kill. And
that's,
then,
yeah.
And then let's see, we talked about, hey, we give games away on our show, and Zach wrote us, so we're going to give him an email, and now I'm going to live type this to him. Listen. Dear Zach, thank you for emailing us on the show. Here's the code. I gave him a code for Brothers for the Xbox One, because I talked about we have a bunch of codes for Brothers, thanks to Starbreeze and 505 Games.
Shout out to them, man. And actually, I spoke a bit about Brothers, and I was giving it praise. I don't know if you want me to do it again.
Yeah, fuck it. Go for it. I'll make believe I'm hearing this for the first time. So, rumor has it you've played the game Brothers. Is that true, Mr. Shiz?
I have. On both the Xbox 360, both the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One. Yeah, I was saying that...
You've bought it twice? Why would you buy the game twice? Explain your thought process to me.
Because I'm an achievement whore. I was at 99 games, 100% in like all the achievements, and I said, okay, I need something that's gonna be a good 100%, but I want it to be guaranteed, and I want it to be fairly quick. I don't want to be just raging for 8 hours straight and nobody's enjoying watching it. So I
you don't want
Brothers.
Plague Inc. to be your 100th.
Holy shit, dude. I don't want it to be my anything. I love that game, but no way in hell am I ever going to achievement hunt in that one. Oh, man. That is a great game. But
yeah, I think the price on the new the re-release of Brothers is kind of steep. It's what, 25, something like that?
It's 25, and it took me, that's what I was saying, it took me... granted, all the achievements can be missed, so if you don't use a guide, you might have to replay it, but that also depends on if you give a shit about achievements. But my second run, it took me 2.5 hours to not only beat it, but 100% it. So $25 for 2.5 hours is pretty steep, especially considering I remember it being $15 on the 360.
Yeah.
And the only thing that justified me buying it is I told myself, okay, you got it on sale for $5, so if you buy it at 25, it's pretty much like you bought it twice for 15. Yeah. That's like the only reason that I keep bring myself to paying that much for such a short game. But that being said,
it is a fantastic game.
It's a fantastic game. It's gorgeous. The soundtrack is amazing. One thing I liked is that there is no spoken dialogue, but the story is still very emotional, still hits hard, still very well told. I really, really like the game. And
it's all done through charades.
Yeah, my only problem with it on the one is how much it costs. So if you're doing, you're giving away copies, anybody listening should definitely hop on that, because the only problem with the game is resolved.
Yeah. It's like Fat City. The only problem was the price, and that was a fuck up, so now it's cheaper.
Mm-hmm. And thanks again for that code, too.
Indeed.
That one, I did another milestone stream with that one. I hit 150,000 gamer score last weekend with that one.
Nice. I think you have an addiction.
What?
I think you have an addiction to gamer score.
Just heard a little.
Achievement unlocked on podcast.
Exactly.
Oh, man. But we still have 3 more codes for Brothers to give away. So if anybody out there is still interested, you know the deal. All you got to do is send us an email. We are thesmlpodcast@gmail.com. Just a reminder, don't just send any kind of random email like, hey, give me a code, because we'll fucking ignore you. We want you to talk with us. Tell us something. Tell us a story of you gaming. Ask us a question about gaming. Any kind of discussion. Like our co-host, Chris, who is not here, he was unable to join our normal show tonight in addition to this show now because he's sleeping. So he sent in 5 hours ago. So I've been super busy with preparing, traveling, and performing with my band, and apologize for my lack of presence in the show recently. I'm sure none of the listeners care. However, Joe, I'm sure you're doing perfectly fine without me. Yeah, man, I'm doing perfectly fine. No audio glitches or anything. Fucking...
Nailed it.
Silky smooth.
Silky smooth.
Perfection. No problems at all. As far as stuff I'd like to talk about, which I'm sure you'll cover anyway, is what are your thoughts on the recent rhythm games that have released? My initial reaction to Guitar Hero was finally a challenge in a rhythm game again, but I realized after a while it only stemmed from the design flaws in the controller and design. Rock Band, although it has a lot of kinks to fix, is by far the superior choice in my opinion. It adds just enough to be fresh and fixes just the right things for it to be a happy transition from the previous installment. Wondering how you guys feel about it and look forward to actually listening to a podcast for once during my travels. In a few hours, I'll be giving Destiny another try. I'll be sure to have a report next time. His report, by the way, was he played it for about 20 minutes and was like, yeah, fuck this game. Now I remember why I stopped playing it.
Destiny? That was...
Yeah.
I got it on release. I've only played it like 20, 30 hours or so. And I think a couple of them were like when I saw my buddies out of town and I played... Like, he had his Xbox on his TV and mine next to him, and we played together, and I still was like, eh. Like, I enjoyed it a bit because it was with him, but I got bored of it very, very, very fast. And then with the Taken King coming out, I got it again. I was like, oh, it's $20 used. I'll give it another shot because I know a lot of my viewers really like the game, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just besides the fact that it was just me getting the shit kicked out of me because I don't know anything about the game anymore, and I'm just bad at everything, I don't know. I couldn't get back into it. I was like, wow, I can't believe I wasted my time with this shit. Like, it's one of those games I like to watch. I still watch a stream here and there, or anytime Achievement Hunter, I actually have to watch them do the raid. Anytime they do Let's Plays, I always watch them. It's one of the few games I like watching, but I can't stand playing it. It pisses me the fuck off for some reason.
Yeah, I enjoyed it I was in the alpha on the PS4 and I had a great time. Okay. I was in the beta on the Xbox One, and I had a great time. I picked the game up, and about 2 days in, I'm like, wow, there's nothing different about this game. It's just the same shit.
Yeah, I noticed that, too. Actually, the thing, I almost didn't buy the game. Actually, I didn't buy the game. It came out the day before my birthday. So I was just like, yo, give me money. And I went and got Destiny. And... yeah, I was actually skeptical because, if I remember correctly, the beta was on Earth, which I never grew to like. I hated Earth. I thought it was boring, and I thought it was just ugly. I don't know. It just did nothing for me. And then I had a lot of fun with Venus and Mars. Venus and the Moon. But seeming as, the first impression I got was Earth, I was like, oh, fuck, is this game going to suck finally? But, to each his own.
Yeah.
It's definitely, I got to give it props for how people are still so goddamn hooked on that. Like, I have some streamers that I follow that they only stream Destiny. I'm like, how the fuck can you play this all? Like, the only game recently I could think of that I could do that with is The Binding of Isaac.
Yeah.
That's because it's always random. Like, there's 4 billion seeds. It's not doing the same fucking raid every day. So, shout out to that game for its longevity because...
Yeah, I know a lot of people are saying that the Taken King fixes a lot of the problems with the initial game, and they're likening it to Diablo Reaper of Souls to regular Diablo, which, all of us on the show are Diablo fans, so we kind of get that comparison, and we're like, oh, well, if they could fix it that much, I mean, if Diablo could do it, why can't Destiny? And I'm hearing that while they fixed a lot of the problems, it's still just Destiny.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you don't like Destiny at all, then a DLC won't fix that.
But yeah.
Apparently, a lot of the problems have been fixed, and people are like, finally, this is the game that it was supposed to be. So I can do... Man, I honestly, if you're going to pay 40 fucking bucks for a DLC, it better be that fucking good.
Yeah.
It wants
to blow me for that much.
Exactly. You better come with a fucking like Russian mail order bride for that much.
Fuck you.
Like, honestly, at that point, you're basically investing the money you can invest in another game into this game. So you better deliver your customers and your fan base a hell of a good product. So at least it seems like they came through on that. Like I said, I still couldn't. Granted, I didn't play Taken King. I was like, am I going to pay $40 for this DLC? I'm glad I tried it again because I was like, no, I just don't like playing it.
Yeah.
But at least, they did it the right way. And speaking of DLC, you mentioned Guitar Hero and Rock Band. I can't believe we lost that part because that's the part that I enjoyed the most.
Maybe it's good that we lost that part because I went off on a fairly long tangent about the things that piss me off about the new Guitar Hero. I'll try to sum them up this time around.
And I didn't even play the thing, and I went off pretty good too. So,
the comparison between Rock Band and Guitar Hero Live, I have them both. I've played them both. I paid for both, so I'm making an honest judgment here. Is Rock Band is far and away the better of the two. Not only is it the more familiar option, so you'll have an easier time getting into it and playing it, but it's also less of a fucking ripoff.
Now, question for you, because you say it's easier to get into and whatever. You refresh my memory. Didn't Guitar Hero come out first?
Guitar Hero was made by the game company Harmonix in cooperation with hardware manufacturer Red Octane. Then Guitar Hero 2 came out, again, developed by Harmonix, published and created by Red Octane. Activision saw money signs, and they're like, oh, we can get Guitar Hero and the manufacturer, so they bought Red Octane. And not Harmonix. Harmonix then went on to develop Rock Band with EA and MTV Games, while Neversoft made Guitar Hero 3 and on. So while Guitar Hero came first, Harmonix still made Guitar Hero.
Okay, I didn't know that, so that makes a lot more sense. Because so like Rock Band is the more familiar one. I was like, how is the newer one the more... Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people think that Rock Band is ripping off Guitar Hero when it's the complete opposite the entire way. Harmonix developed it, Activision raped its corpse, and now they're resurrecting the corpse, and they're just trying to pound it a little bit more. I think I likened it before to the Candy Crush of rhythm games, in that the online Guitar Hero Live or Guitar Hero TV is the big selling point of Guitar Hero Live. There is an on-disc campaign. There's a gigantic set list of 42 songs on the disc, which is so fucking bad, even compared to the 65 on Rock Band 4 that people complained about.
Exactly. That's what you're saying. If you're complaining about that already, you're getting two-thirds of that.
42. And a lot of the songs that they have hyped up for months now, they're like, oh, we have this song, we have this song, we have this song. A lot of those are on GHTV. The biggest one I was interested in was Chevelle's The Clincher, because I love Chevelle. I'm still of thinking that the only reason Chevelle ever got a pack in Rock Band was because I harassed them so much to get Chevelle. But I love The Clincher, and I would do anything to get that song in Rock Band, but because it's in Guitar Hero, that was a big reason why I picked it up.
Okay.
It is only on GHTV.
Yeah, which wouldn't you explained, be... I want to hear you say it again, because I love your tone of voice when you explain it.
It wouldn't be so bad if I could just fire up the game, hop on GHTV, and play the song as much as I wanted.
You mean like play the game that actually should be able to be played?
Yeah, but they have a different system for playing games. Guitar Hero TV is like a streaming Pandora meets MTV, where it's just, they have two channels. One is more rock heavy. The other is like pop, indie, rock. It's a mix of everything, at least so far that I've seen. And they are just running constantly. There's a song will play, and then you'll get your results, and then a new song will play. Whether you're there or not, these songs are playing. It's like TV. It's just always happening. But you play along to it. Stupidly enough, they also have little commercials in between songs too, which I think is fucking hilarious. It's like commercials for In the Vault Now. You can play this new release. It's not like product placement. It's just commercials for songs that are there. I'm thinking they did it to pad out times to make it like a solid half hour for programming blocks, which I can understand.
For sure, but like, just like
it's still funny.
Your consumers a little bit more.
Yeah, it's still funny.
Wow.
They're advertising what's in the game that you can play, so it's not like Snickers or anything like that. But it's still offensive when you see a commercial for a Nickelback song.
if between a Destiny raid you got a like pause where it's like, hey, you could play the Taken King.
Visit
be like,
the
yeah,
moon.
I know. Shut yeah, shut the fuck up and let me go to the moon and let me play my fucking game.
Wizards came fucking, from the moon.
It's you didn't say that last time. That's
yeah.
that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, from a programming standpoint, I can understand it where they need to pad it out so that they can make their half-hour or hour-long blocks. You need to fill something in there.
Yeah, but put a 10-second gap between each song. It'd be much more enjoyable than... But what's the best part about TV?
If you want to play a specific song of the... I want to say there's like 120, 150. There's a big selection of GHTV that you can pick and play at any time, again, but you need to pay one play point to play the song. And that doesn't mean that you get to download it and play it and, you know, practice it and everything else. That means you are renting it for one single play. You cannot restart the song. If you change the difficulty, it changes it on the fly. You don't restart. It's just one single play.
That's the most bullshit thing I've ever heard.
I mean, they give you play points in the game. When you start off, they give you 10. When you level up, you could get 3 or 5 or whatever the hell they give you.
Wow.
And then you can, as you play GHTV, you know, every song, depending on your placement on a 10-person leaderboard, you earn coins. You could get anywhere as little as 10 up to like 170, I think, is the highest I got so far. And in conversion, those coins can be used to purchase play points that are about 600 coins each. So if you play 3 or 4 songs and you're good at the game, you should be able to get a play point for every 3 or 4 songs, more depending on how good you are. If you don't want to do that, there's always real money options.
Of course.
Where you pay real money to get a second in-game currency to buy play points. Which
so
I think
and
is
How much does it come out to per song?
God, I'm trying to think. It's not that much. It's probably like a quarter a play. So it's like a jukebox. I don't have the numbers
zero,
in
so
front
it's
of me.
Too much.
Yeah. And there, it's but, not like Rock Band where I'm like, hey, there's a new song out. I want to play Aerosmith's Eat the Rich. Let me pay you $2.12 because I live in Pennsylvania and we have tax. Or no, $2.11. Let me pay you this $2.11 and let me download the song and I can play it as much as I want. There is no paid DLC in Guitar Hero Live. Some people might be like, oh, that's a good thing. That means you can play all the songs you want for free. Sure, if you want to follow their schedule and their songs.
Yeah, which is, it defeats the entire purpose. Like, how the game is marketed is like, do you want to be a rock star? Well, you can't because you suck, but you can play it in your room and pretend you are.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, but, there's a lot of aggravating things about the game for me. And people are like, oh, well, it's a party killer. On the upside, they do have, they call it a party pass, which is a 24-hour play whatever you want as much as you want. The shitty thing is it's $6, which means if you want to play all you want every day, that's $6 a day. And it's not 24 hours of game time. It's 1:38 a.m. to 1:38 a.m. the next day. So if something comes up and you can't play for 23 of those 24 hours, tough shit. There's your $6.
Mm-hmm.
Where for me, I could spend $6, download 3 Aerosmith songs, and I could play them forever.
Yeah, that makes a lot more sense to me.
And a lot of people are worried, like, what if Activision shuts down the servers?
True. Because like, the game is bombing so hard, I would
assume. All you have is the 42 songs. That's it.
Yeah, honestly, it just sounds like I was saying in the first go, I don't understand why you would take all these, I don't understand what the hell they were thinking by thinking that this is a good idea.
I don't know.
Anybody with like half a brain would be like, I'm not fucking paying. I don't care if it's like $1. I don't care if it's 10 cents to have one go at a song. the fact that I have to rebuy it. What if I want 100% that song and I gotta try it 10 times? Like, that could be, that one song can get pretty fucking expensive.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous that I'm gonna have to pay it at all if I just bought the game to play a song on it.
Yeah.
It's like you.
The funniest
it's like if
part,
Destiny starts charging you for fucking clips,
they
like
might don't give
ammo,
them ideas.
Well, for 25 cents, I'll give you a fucking new round.
It's they're like, both Activision. Don't give them ideas. Some people made this comparison: is that in the earlier days they said that Guitar Hero, like Guitar Hero 3, Guitar Hero World Tour, those were all about chasing scores, get the highest score, play it over and over and over,
exactly,
maximize your over or your star power. Sorry, Overdrive's a Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
Maximize your star power, get a perfect chart path, use it exactly at the right time, milk the notes, get the highest point total possible. And mm-hmm. now it is the casual route, because now
oh,
you
sure.
just pay. And if you want to be serious about it, you got to pay a lot of money. But if you just want to play songs and get high scores, now you buy Rock Band. And
yeah, for sure. And it's like I was saying, not only... I feel like nowadays Rock Band is the bigger name than Guitar Hero. And that too, I was saying, like, Guitar Hero, they're still... First of all, you told me that they took out bass, but they added vocals. But still, Guitar Hero is Guitar Hero. Rock Band, you have, like, every instrument. So
yeah.
already you're getting... You're limited and you're getting crushed in that aspect. Because if I'm a drummer, I don't give
yeah.
a fuck about Guitar Hero. But now you're adding all these things to, like, milk every single penny out of... Not even dollar, but penny out of your customers... When you have your competition coming out at the exact same time, it purposely fucked themselves in every way they can. I just don't understand who the hell thought that any of that was a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to say that Rock Band did perfectly, because Rock Band has plenty of fuck-ups
yeah,
on their own.
I'm hearing that as well, but I mean...
Yeah, Rock Band,
hard to compete with
there,
that.
There's no way to defend that Rock Band rushed to the market to beat Guitar Hero, because it's clear mm-hmm. that's what they did. There's, mm-hmm. you know, missing features. There's no online. The character creator is small. You can't make a set list. Like, you can't make a five-song set list and play that. They have an amazing career mode. They have a cool play-a-show mode, which it's very... Like, it's very good at giving you songs that you may have never touched before, but it's hard to get the songs you want to play.
Okay.
Unless you okay. back out every time. The good okay. things that Rock Band has done is you can use your old instruments. On PlayStation, they just work. On the Xbox One, you need to buy an adapter that's only $25, or if you buy the game new, it's included for that extra okay. $20, because it's $80 now instead of $60.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much all of your old DLC works. Official DLC. There's a big thing there.
Okay.
Rock Band
okay.
Network at this time doesn't work. They initially said it won't work. It's not going to work, but their stance has changed to when we get all our other shit figured out, we'll probably do it on a case-by-case basis.
Okay.
So there's options there. But as of, like, I have... 1600 songs in Rock Band 4 right now. And
I remember you were on one of my streams and you were on for like hours because you were just waiting for your music to update.
Yeah, well, a lot of that was because of the new Xbox experience. The new dashboard wasn't playing well with Rock Band. It would have been a lot faster if I was on the old dash.
That too, I haven't downloaded because I hear nothing but negative things and streaming.
Oh, I
so
love
much,
it.
Like,
it has glitches and issues, but that's why it's a beta.
Yeah, because I stream so much, I can't.
I don't want to be
streaming a game and then shit just crashes. I already have enough problems with Twitch.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that. But even still, like, I have all those songs that I bought on the 360 ready for me in Rock Band 4. More are
That's
coming.
Good.
They already confirmed that Rock Band 3 is going to have an export in December. The exports for Rock Band 1 and 2 are coming. Rock Band Blitz already exports. Green Day just became exportable this week. They are working on getting packs that have had pulled songs taken care mm-hmm. of. They're working on pulled songs in general coming. We mentioned this on a previous podcast, but I was told that if you bought the song, you will get it. They will find a way. They don't know how, but they'll figure it out. So
yeah, you're just proving me right in what I, when I said, like, how is Guitar Hero?
Yeah.
How did they think that they can compete with any of that?
Yeah, I'm really happy because the early word is that Rock Band is in like the top 10 sales of the month, which I'm fucking thrilled about because no one really thought that there was going to be a huge demand for Rock Band, and all the sold out hardware is starting to prove that wrong. Even
you're
harmonics.
Saying that there's like a, there's a not enough of the accessories to actually play the game because the game is selling too well for what was pre-ordered and predicted.
Yeah, they're selling better than anyone
game,
expected.
You can't play it, but.
Yeah, even Harmonix didn't expect huge sales. They were doing this as a passion project for the people who love Rock Band and to kind of get back into releasing new music for all their Rock Band fans. They know how rabid we are, and they wanted to bring it back. And I don't think
That's
they expected any kind of massive profit on this, but I think they're being surprised at how hardcore fans are coming back. And now everyone's like, oh, I'm just going to wait for Guitar Hero. And now people are seeing what Guitar Hero is, and they're starting to run. I got to admit, like, I was getting excited for Guitar Hero to come out. I was watching someone stream it on release night, and I was just getting it like, I need to pick this up. I found some stuff to trade into Best Buy, picked it up, came home. It's fun. Don't get me wrong. It is fun.
You're just so
but
fucking
it's,
limited.
It's incredibly limited, and I mentioned this when we recorded earlier, is that it is going to fuck up your playing of Rock Band because of how different the button scheme is. Like, muscle memory is a bitch. It is a powerful, powerful thing.
One thing that I forgot to mention in the first recording was, yeah, muscle memory is... I haven't played Smash Bros. Melee in probably a year. But I played that game on and off for about, it came out, I think, in 2001, so 14 years. And that was a game where I was literally taking the bus to the next province 2 hours over and competing against the best in Canada. That was like one of the only games that I was actually a beast at.
Yeah.
And that game, yeah, I remember I hadn't played in about 3 years. And then I see guys at my new job are playing and somebody's getting pissed that, you know, one guy keeps winning. He's like, yeah, suck my dick, whatever. I was like, can I try? And I just like fucking obliterated him because and I don't even like when I play it, I don't even think of what I'm doing anymore. It's just the muscle memory just destroys you.
It just,
same as when I play Trials. I was actually really rusty the other day, but as a golden rule, when I play Trials, I haven't played in 3 months. I'll go on and I'll get a gold medal on Extreme Track because I've just played the game so damn much that I just like, I don't think about it. I just do it.
And
so I could definitely understand if you play, if you're playing, you know, 50 hours of Rock Band and then you switch to Guitar Hero and the button scheme is complete, not necessarily complete garbage, but completely switched.
Yeah, it's not garbage. It's just different. But it's different enough to fuck you up when you go back to Rock Band. Like, I was playing with Chris earlier today, technically yesterday because it's after midnight. But I was playing with him, and there were easy songs that I'm just missing notes because the wrong finger is trying to hit buttons.
Yeah, I hear you.
Just because my brain isn't processing, it's like, oh yeah, I'm back to here now. So as if you are dead set on getting Guitar Hero Live, skip Rock Band 4 because you're going to fuck yourself up. But honestly, get Rock Band 4.
Because fighting your own brain just to like use the controls is... Already you're going to have to deal with the timing and stuff, but if you're... Like, I remember when I started playing Walking Dead, because I always play everything inverted.
Yeah, yeah.
you eventually, with Wolf Among Us and stuff, you could invert. But yeah, I just, like, I couldn't play it for shit, and I had to somehow, like, relearn and teach my brain how to play it. And then I spent so much time... Like, it took me the entire first season before I could actually do anything... smooth. And like, those games are the easiest thing in the world. I died so many times because like I just couldn't grab that shotgun because I'm looking at the sky, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just had to fight my brain so hard that by the time Wolf Among Us comes out and I can invert it, I didn't, because I was like, no, I just relearned everything, I'm not doing this shit again. And I remember even when Blue Estate came out, which is a fantastic on the rail shooter, the only way that I could play it, because it's like a first-person shooter, but it's on the rails, I had to trick my brain into saying it's a point-and-click like Walking Dead, and that's the only reason I was able to play it. And it was so hard at the beginning because I'm not fighting the game. I'm fighting my own brain trying to just work the controls, and it's like muscle memory and just like fighting your brain to just do anything.
I'm so happy to hear that there's another inverted player.
I think that comes, if I'm not mistaken, GoldenEye is the problem, source of our disease.
I was never big into GoldenEye, so it wasn't for me.
What about Perfect Dark?
Nope.
Flight simulators and stuff?
I didn't play first-person games at all until, like, Fallout 3.
Holy shit.
Because it would make me motion sick.
I was born in 87, and I played Wolfenstein 3D in 92.
See, I could do Wolfenstein because of how low-res the visuals were.
Yeah. That one you couldn't aim up and down, kind of like Doom and...
That one was just straight ahead, move left and right. That was it. Mm-hmm.
Flight is typically inverted, or at least it always was, like in simulators and stuff.
Yeah, it is.
So that also, but yeah, I think it's GoldenEye and or Perfect Dark that just like broke my brain. And I remember even trying the demo for the game Thief. I download the 7 gig or 10 gig trial, whatever. Turn it on. I go to options. I can't invert it. I just uninstalled it. I can't play it. I just can't fucking play it. I'm gonna be looking at the sky the whole time. Yeah, maybe in the full version you can, but in the demo or trial, whatever, you could not invert the controls. So I just uninstalled it. I was like, cool, you just lost the sale. GG.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive it has invert in it. It's been a long ass time since I played it, but
I mean, that why even if it's a demo or a trial, why would you not put it?
True.
For people like me who will just dodge your game because. Like, I can't play this.
Yeah, my biggest issue with inversion is that new MMO that came out, Onigiri.
I still haven't tried it. I installed it on day one. I still haven't had time to play it.
I love the game, but, you know, it's a third-person game, so it's not like it's first-person that looking up and down, but you cannot invert what moves the camera up and down, and it always screws me up. Like, it's nothing game-breaking. Like, if it was a first-person game and I can't invert, that's game-breaking to me.
If there's anything that's reaction speed, you're going to be severely crippled. Like, even, might be a bad example, but I obviously got Rare Replay.
Yeah.
And I started playing Conker's Bad Fur Day, and I only played it 1.5 hours, maybe, on the night I started it, and I had so much trouble because you can't change the controls at all. And the camera, it's not even the up and down, it's the left and right. It's backwards to what I like it. And yeah. I can't learn how to deal with it. Like, I can't progress and it drives me fucking crazy. That one, I guess it makes a bit more sense. But again, if you're remastering it, doing the borders, the menus and shit, pretty sure you could program a little fucking invert. But
yeah, maybe they'll add it. I know they added twin stick controls to GeForce Gemini, so maybe they'll add it to other stuff.
Oh, I got to tell that to my friend. I don't even remember if I've ever played that game, but I know he was saying he was having a lot of trouble with the controls on Rare Replay, so I'll mention that to him at work tomorrow.
Yeah, it's crazy how inversion can throw you off, but whatever. All the normal people do inverted controls. Everyone who does quote-unquote standard control, you guys are all fucked up.
Nice.
Anyway, there are a couple of games that need to be discussed this week because these...
Actually... Can I just make one more question for you?
All right.
To me, is we went on about how good Rockstar and Guitar Hero are, rhythm based. We never talked about Laser Life. How did you like that?
I fucking loved it. We discussed it last week on the show, and it was fantastic. I love the whole twin stick. Awesome. You know, having to control different corners and maybe both sides, up down, going through the things. The music was amazing. They nailed it. I didn't know what to expect when I saw pictures of the game, and I said this last week. If you are only basing it off of screenshots, you're missing it. It's something you need to see in motion and experience.
Yeah, and the music is definitely, it was good because it's like, it gets repetitive, but it's not a bad thing, because obviously, well, I went and I got all the achievements, so I had to replay levels like a million times, and never at one point was I like, holy shit, I'm sick of this song, let me change the music. I liked it the entire, the only complaint that I have is that the color choices that they chose, it does get hard on the eyes pretty fast.
Yeah.
Like, I'm used to playing games all day, and I don't get that burning eye shit. But after, like, 2 hours, I was just, like, bleeding out my face, kind of like Tesla Punk did. Tesla Punk was like that, too. It just broke my eyeballs.
I really like Tesla Punk, too.
Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's just, like, I can't play it too long because it's just, like, the colors are just ridiculous. But, no, Laser Life was so fucking good.
Yeah, Choice knocked it out of the park with that one.
Oh, yeah. That was, I love that one.
But yeah, let's see. I got five mm-hmm. games to go over this week since we already kind of discussed Forced 6 hours ago.
yeah. And yeah, once again, I definitely recommend anybody that's a fan of that genre and likes the challenge, I definitely recommend it. I had a lot of fun with it. I can't wait to go back to it.
Yeah. And keep an eye out for their next game, which is on Kickstarter right now. I feel bad mm-hmm. because... I think we lost all of that discussion too, but what is it? Forced the Game is their website. Go there and you can check out the Kickstarter for the new title, which they're saying is planned to come to consoles as well. And that's supposed to be a lot more solo friendly and more adventure-y and roguelike.
Yeah. They were saying it's going to be like randomly generated arenas with randomly generated, enemies and then bosses. And then you're going to get cards, which have perks, which also lead up to combos. And I said, oh, it sounds like a bit like The Binding of Isaac. And they said that was actually one of their inspirations. So I know I do nothing but play The Binding of Isaac. So I'm happy to hear that. And I'm sure I'm not the only one because that game obviously is, you know, a little bit successful. Holy shit, I finally got this achievement after trying about 17 years.
Which one?
Crimson Land, to get the final perk, which if you don't know how you do it, you can get there's a shitload of perks in this game. I want to say maybe like 60, 70. The last one, you actually have to go to the extras menu. You go to the credits, you press YYY, XXX, Y, and then you have a gem bind game, combine the gems, and you have to beat the high score. And I've literally probably tried this for a good 3 or 4 hours, and the high score is 53,000. I got to 51 and I failed and I wanted to kill myself. And right now I'm at 75 and I'm still going.
Damn.
But it's because I said that I'm about to die, but I don't care because I just got my new perk, motherfucker, 50 gamer score. Anyways, sorry, I didn't derail that.
I'm kind of curious to see what this game is now because I didn't know about that. No, the little secret hidden game.
Oh, it's pretty cool. It's one of those where it's like you have like two small circles, you combine them, they're a big circle, and now you combine two big circles and it's a triangle. And you know what I mean?
Holy shit, my TV's loud.
You keep making... combos, and yeah, it gets harder and harder, and they're worth more and more, but it's... Yeah,
Crimson Land is awesome. I played that back on the PS4, and I was so excited to see it come to the Xbox One.
It's fun. It's just fucking hard, man. I tried... I beat normal mode, which is the easiest of the three difficulties. I played, like, 2 or 3 levels on hardcore mode, and I was like, no, I'm not even going to bother. It's so brutal.
So what do you press during the credits?
YYY XXXY.
There it is.
Which already, just figuring that out, somebody knew something, because I would never think to just do that. It's like when people, like, I could get stuff like, you know, in Guacamelee where you enter the Contra code on the main menu and you can automatically start in hard. That makes sense. It's the Contra code. I'm pretty sure at this point, everybody tries the Contra code in every game to see if something happens.
Yeah.
But that one, like, who would just be like, maybe if I press these 7 buttons in this order, I could get a fucking perk. Like... And looking at the menu, there's probably more like 80 perks.
Some people, they're crazy.
What were you saying before I completely derailed it because I'm an asshole?
God, I don't even know. Now I'm fucking playing this game.
We were talking about Laser Life. Then I was saying, Binding of Isaac. And Forced already is really fun. But judging by what they were saying, honestly, the new one sounds even better.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, definitely... If you guys are interested, I would definitely say check out the site and check out the Kickstarter. And if this is a game that interests you, man, if you send them a few bucks, you can speed up the process of getting that game in your hands.
Indeed.
Kickstarter is such a great thing, I find.
And then we could talk about it on our show.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fun mm-hmm. for everybody.
Exactly. Everybody wins.
Oh, I'm going to be so bad at this fucking game in Crimson Land.
It's one of those where on my, like, second try, I almost had it, and then It literally took me a good 3-4 hours. And something that took me, my winning run just now probably took me like 3 minutes, maybe.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm terrible at games like this.
I'm usually really good, so that's why it's fucking annoying.
Oh, why do they keep giving these tiny balls? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You little motherfuckers.
Yeah, you're gonna. I guarantee tomorrow you're gonna send me a message like, "Why did you tell me about this?
You motherfucker!"
I'm so glad I finally got it. I've gone to bed at like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. every day this week because when I stop streaming, I'll hop on XBLA fans, and I'll be trying to get this fucking achievement.
Oh man!
And I look at the time and I'm like, "Oh, okay, I have work in the morning."
Well, that's your own fault.
Oh yeah, it is.
Oh, but, son of a bitch, what have you done to me?
Yep.
What have you done to me?
So,
I don't know. There's other games came out. There's like things.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. Maybe you should talk about said things.
Let's see. Oregon Trail came out on the PS4 and Vita. If people don't know what Oregon Trail is,
really fun.
There is an old computer game called the Oregon Trail. And little kids who don't... Oh, son of a bitch. 31,000. Fuck, I'm done.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get a lot.
I can't do this shit. I can't do this.
You're gonna get that 31, 40 and all the time. And you're going to be like, fuck, I was so close. You weren't.
Oh, I tried playing Threes on the Xbox One and that drove me insane.
I actually haven't played that game since like February, and for some reason I just thought of playing it the other day while I was watching YouTube, because that one you can actually snap it. But
yeah, I
love
that that's snappable.
It's so cool. And yeah, I was like, wow, I remember I got this 384 card on my iPhone but never on my Xbox, and go figure that after an hour or two I actually got the achievement.
Nice.
66 gamer score. My gamer score still doesn't end with a 0 or 5 after months. I hate it so much.
Well, if you're looking for a new game that's going to give you weird numbered achievements, there's a new Windows Phone game from Game Troopers called Runimals, where it is a kind of like a monster fighter puzzle game where what is it? Super Collapse, where you tap blocks and the other blocks will fall. You tap them and it removes all of the connected ones of that color. Those power up your monsters, and then it's RPG style battle where you pick attack or different abilities and you have to kill the monsters, and then you move on and you tap it again. Every round is basically the puzzle tapping thing, and there's all fucked up achievements in that. It's like a bunch of fours, a bunch of eights. So if you're looking to re-unfuck your achievement totals, that's the game to do it.
Nice. Yeah, the problem is I have a couple of games where I could unfuck them. It would just take time. Like, let's say Nova 111.
Yeah.
I only played that game for like an hour, if even. And I want to go back to it. So if ever I get that, like, find all the scientists achievement, that's like 111 gamer score, I'd be like, great, it's fucked up again.
Believe it or not, I still haven't got the play at 111. In the morning.
Fuck.
I haven't got that one.
I totally forgot about that. Did I get that? I don't think I got that. Fuck. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah. Anyway, Oregon Trail is out now for the PS4 and the Vita from the Men Who Wear Many Hats Productions.
Even just the name is awesome.
I know.
Both Oregon Trail and
the Men Who Wear Many Hats. If you were a kid of the 80s or early 90s and you remember playing computer games in school with like the shitty VGA monitors, this is a zombie version of the Oregon Trail. Again, Oregon, not Oregon, where you basically make the trek from one side of the country to the other. You start in DC, you have to get to a safe haven out near Seattle. And you trek across the country in your trusty wagon, in your trusty station wagon. It is visually, it looks exactly like it would have looked with the Oregon Trail. It is the blockiness, the screen rolling transitions. It's just amazing how authentic this looks like a shitty computer game. And I mean that in the best way possible. I don't mean it's like a shitty game. Just the visuals are exactly what it needs to be. Again, in the best way possible. There's the hunting in it that's exactly like the Oregon Trail, except instead of shooting bears or deer, you're shooting zombies with occasional boss zombie monsters like a zombie bear.
Yeah, that sounds fucking terrifying. It sounds just as terrifying this time as the first time.
And it's all in like crappy pixelated graphics, so it's I was losing my shit. It is so funny how authentically computer this game is. Just that era. If you've ever touched a 5 1/4 inch floppy disk before, you need to play this game. It is $10. It's on sale. I think it's $5.99 with PS Plus right now for some sale of the dead thing that Sony's got going on.
Okay.
You absolutely need to pick this up if you have a PS4 and a Vita and you're a child of the 80s or early 90s. It's just a must own, and you'll laugh your ass off until a zombie eats it.
Nice. Yeah, it sounds fun as hell. You seem really excited about it, so I really need to check that out eventually.
Yeah, it is so good. I'm fingers crossed it comes to Xbox. I did ask them about it. They said that it's up in the air. I wouldn't put any money on it, but you never know. Mm-hmm. Like, we've gotten Octodad, we got Rogue Legacy, we got Crimson Land. So it might be a while,
such good games, all of them.
I know.
I need to play more Rogue Legacy. It whooped my ass, and I just like gave up instantly. But that was so good.
Oh,
and
I love Rogue Legacy.
Same with like Shovel Knight. I'm still only like halfway through, and I love it. It's just so fucking hard.
I'm excited because after like 2 or 3 months, I finally heard back from the Octodad guys, and I might be able to set something up for them to come on the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
Would make my friggin' day. I'd have to get you on for that one as well.
Yeah, I love that game, and I'm going to be like, hey, guys, remember when I emailed you about a review copy I didn't get? No, but honestly, that game was so damn fun.
Yeah. Next game to discuss is called Cronus Arc, and it is from Kemco for the Nintendo 3DS. It is on their eShop right now for $9.99. It started its life as a mobile game. It is an RPG. It has been completely redone for the 3DS. It is 100% a 16-bit RPG. If you've ever played the Final Fantasy games on the Super Nintendo, I don't want to say Breath of Fires, like Chrono Trigger, mainly the Final Fantasies. We all know Final Fantasies. It's that. It is visually, it is as true to 16-bit RPGs as possible. It has a lot of modern trappings with it. It has an updated battle system where it's still the old turn-based battle systems, but they have auto battles. They have a speed up button to make the battles go quicker. The walk speed, which many an RPG fan has bitched about over the years, the walk speed is very quick. So it's no more snail's pace walking from place to place. There is a teleporting system as well that you get very early in the game, where instead of backtracking on the map constantly, you open the map, tap where you want to go, and you're there. It is
awesome.
A massive time saver to make leveling up easier and progressing through the game. They have a bounty system where kill like 10 of this enemy around an area, go back, get a reward. All the weapons upgrading in the game is all done through crafting systems, which can be a pain if you're trying to find the certain items. Overall, it's a very enjoyable game. There is a massive downfall, though, for most people, and that is that the game is a grind.
Yeah,
there are huge difficulty spikes in the game, and I'm still somewhat early, but if you go to an area a little bit before you're supposed to, you will get wrecked. If you go to an area when you're supposed to go there, you still might get wrecked. It's
yeah, see, that even trumps out the grinding for me. That's just, to me, that's when it jumps too high, too fast, it completely ruins some games for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it gets easier near the end of the game, but through what I've done so far, the spikes that are there, they can hit you pretty hard. You know, to make up for it, you basically just grind and try leveling up, try upgrading your weapons and armor. There is a second item shop in the game. There's basically a second pseudo currency called mana, where after battles, you might get one mana and you save them up. You could spend it in this extra shop to like pick up power boosts, speed boosts, and they're permanent stat boosts in the game. They also have special items that you could equip that will, you know, double your experience or double your gold. You could get keys to go into these special dungeons. What I like in a way that you can't abuse the system is once you make a purchase from that store, it forces you to save your game.
Okay.
That way people can't just abuse it. Although sometimes maybe you need to abuse it. But
yeah, for sure.
If you're a 3DS owner, if you grew up with SNES RPGs, if you like that generation of retro gaming, it's definitely worthwhile picking up, but you have to be prepared for a grind.
Okay. Yeah, like I was saying, grinding to me is just, I don't find pleasure in doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again for a level.
Yeah, it's just, not for everyone.
Kills games.
If people like it, go for it. next up, Marvel Puzzle Quest just came out for the PS3, the PS4, and the Xbox 360.
That one sounds awesome.
It is on the way for the Xbox One as well, so don't worry, Xbox One owners. It is coming. Just a little hold up with that. Hopefully in the next month or so. The game is $15. It is. It comes from D3 Go, a division of D3 Publisher, who are the Puzzle Quest guys. The game was developed by Way Forward, which is pretty awesome to hear. Anytime I hear Way Forward, I get excited. It's Puzzle Quest with a Marvel skin. The writing is fun Marvel comic hokey goodness. There is a huge number of superheroes in the game that you could play as over time. You start with a small selection, and you obviously unlock more as you go. There are two DLC packs available, day one DLC, which might rub people the wrong way, but they do seem substantial enough to be worth it. They're $4 each. One is called Science Friction, which I believe includes the Punisher, and the other is called Case of the Cold Chimichangas, which has everybody's favorite Deadpool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. They seem like they have beefy enough campaigns of their own to make it worth the price. The campaign in the main game seems to be pretty hefty, as in I put a big chunk of time in. I got through a bunch. The microphone fell. I got through a bunch of the stages and I was like, oh man, I wonder how far I'm getting in. And I don't think I'm even halfway through the first chapter, and there were a whole bunch of chapters.
Yeah, so you said there was like 8 or 9?
Something like that. I don't have an exact number, but it's definitely a substantial size story. You're getting, if you've bought any of the Puzzle Quest games, you know how much time you could kill on them. Plus, if you want, you could always grind up your superheroes, build their powers, build up. They have different cards you get after battles to give you new abilities, team up cards, which give you special attacks with special gems in the game that are one time use abilities. The battle system itself is a 3-on whatever, how many enemies there are, usually 3-on-3, 3-on-1, depending if it's a boss. Okay. And you can switch your focus to focus your damage on one single person to try eliminating them quicker if they have an ability that's really fucking with you.
That's too much of a threat.
Yeah, and the way that it determines which of your character's attacks is depending on how powerful they are with a select color. Like in mine, if I match blue gems, I think that one goes to Captain America, or black ones are the Punisher, and they'll have little icons showing, like they'll have claw marks for Wolverine or like a shield for Captain America, so you know who it's going to be, a little circular orb for Iron Man. And then you can try, if one of your guys is getting hurt, you could try focusing on a different color gem to pull them out. That way you keep your three characters.
And that's awesome that they at least, I mean, it might sound stupid because it is very simple, but the fact that they color coordinate with the character and put the claw marks for Wolverine and stuff.
Yeah, it's a really cool twist, and I'm having a lot of fun with the game. It's Puzzle Quest. You can't go wrong with Puzzle Quest.
Sounds awesome, man.
Yeah, I don't know how beefy the DLC campaigns are, but fucking who's going to say no to $4 for Deadpool, really?
Yeah, you're not lying. Especially with the movie coming out and stuff, it's perfect timing.
Yeah, especially with Activision trying to charge $50 for Deadpool again. You saw that's coming out, right?
What, there's another game?
The Deadpool game that came out on 360 and PS3. Yeah.
Oh, they're going to put it on the 1 and PS4. And
it's getting re-released for $50, uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. I wanted to play that on the 360 until I saw the price, because I saw some gameplay and I'm like, it does look good, but it doesn't look $50 good.
I picked it up on a sale. It was like 15 exactly. bucks or something on a sale. It's
that's
fun.
When I would buy it.
Nolan North is hilarious as Deadpool as well. So
yeah, that too. That I know. Like I watched some videos to see if I was going to get it, because I kept hearing like, no, it's not worth the price. So I watched a few videos and I was like, okay, I'll wait till it's on sale. And it never caught my eye when it was, but the fact that they're re-releasing it, I don't know.
Yeah, full price. They're trying to pull a prototype.
Yeah. You see, the re-releases too, like, not only do we get a re-release every day, but at least, I don't know, give me some incentive. Like, Sleeping Dogs, at least, they had, like, all the DLC, the graphics were crazy, same as Saints Row.
Yeah.
Actually, Saints Row was actually a better example because
they included the new campaign with
bucks?
It.
Yeah, and was it $50 when it came out? Or
I think so.
60. And it was Saints Row 4 and Get Out of Hell. And Get Out of Hell was short. Like, you could beat the campaign within 5 hours, but then yeah. If you want to get all the achievements, it's more like 20.
Plus, it was hilarious.
But yeah, it was funny. That musical segment, I almost pissed myself.
Oh, man.
But, Saints Row 4 is just like awesome in itself, and it looked better. You have all the DLCs, which there's a shitload of clothing and stuff, if that matters to you.
Hell yeah.
And the price was lower than what it came out of the 360.
Plus, you could buy them separately too.
That too was awesome. Like the Sleeping Dogs, like, it was full price, but it looked like 17 million times better.
Yeah.
And it had all the DLC. All that, it was still, it would have made more sense if it came out at 40 or $50 rather than 60, especially I'd gotten it, like Games with Gold for free on the 360.
Yeah.
But considering it's one of my favorite games ever, I didn't mind grabbing it when it was on sale for $30, but like, they remaster every fucking game now.
Yeah. That's why I like backward compatibility on the Xbox One, mm-hmm. because there's awesome. A lot of games that might have been remastered, but now they're just gonna be like, fuck it, you could play your 360 version. Except Activision, they'll be like, we're not going to let you play your 360 version. Buy it.
One game that I'm hoping hits back I'm actually hoping hits the one is Super Meat Boy. I know it just came to the PS4.
Yeah,
and I know it's backward compatible, but as much as it's brutal and made me want to blow my head off, it's so good that I would not mind replaying it on the one and having a new achievement list and all that.
See, I gotta say, I'm one of the 360 owners, proudly bought it on launch and mm-hmm. love it. I own the soundtrack, bought it from Danny B. We touched beards.
Nice.
I don't like the new soundtrack.
For what, Super Meat Boy?
Yeah.
There's a new one?
Yeah. Danny B had a falling out with the Team Meat guys.
Okay.
And he didn't relicense them the soundtrack for the PS4 and Vita release.
Oh.
So shit. It has a whole new soundtrack. A lot of people dig it. It's good music. Don't get me wrong. It's good music, but it's not Super Meat Boy to me.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm the same as you. It's the only game soundtrack I have on disc besides Halo soundtracks. And yeah. It's just like phenomenal. Same as like Binding of Isaac. I have both soundtracks, and when the Afterbirth one comes out, I'll definitely buy it. And like, I've shoveled, like, there's some games I just have to have the soundtrack. That was one of them.
Yeah, I don't know what the falling out was with Danny B and Team Meat, but whatever it is, that's their business to settle. And
yeah.
Danny B is completely in his right to not relicense the music, since it's his music. He licensed it, you know, he did everything on his own. Team Meat just licensed it from him for the game. It's just, it doesn't feel the same without it.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, you get so used to it. Even, I remember, like, I only got Binding of Isaac 2 or 3 months ago. I think it came out in July on the 1. But I've been wanting that game for 2 or 3 years ever since my buddy showed it to me when he showed me Super Meat Boy.
Yeah.
And so all this time I've had the soundtrack, because I you showed me a few songs and I downloaded it right away. Like, I bought it off their Bandcamp because it was just so damn good. So yeah, for years I was used to the soundtrack. And then by the time I played Rebirth, I still love the soundtrack, but I actually find the original is better.
Yeah. I should try getting Danny back on the show. It's been a while.
Yeah, when you told me that you had him, I was like, fuck you, that's awesome.
Danny B, that's if you're so listening, sick. Which I know you're not, come back on.
Yeah.
We miss you.
And give me Super Meat Boy on the one, because I love you.
He doesn't control the game. I don't think Danny could do anything about the game.
Yeah.
Maybe you could beg him to relicense the soundtrack for the Xbox One version in particular. You never know. But
I could always mute the game and put the CD on.
Very true.
So I'd rather just have the game.
I'm just happy that we have it backwards compatible. Well, mm-hmm. I do. I don't know.
I was really surprised, honestly, the fact that we got like 20 with the preview program.
Yeah.
But like it makes sense, but it's also kind of a random pick. Until you factor in that they're almost all indie games. But when they're like, there's going to be 20 games, I was like, okay, what are they going to be? Like Halo and Gears of War and stuff like that, you know? And I see Super Meat Boy, I was like, oh, that's awesome.
I think a lot of it was they tried to pick a variety that possibly mm-hmm. pushed different boundaries of their emulator.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point.
And plus, they have all the rare games. So they obviously tested those for Rare Replay. You know, it's a mix of new and old stuff. Like, they have Battle Block Theater. They have the original Mass Effect. It seemed like a wide variety, and everyone's like, when are we going to get more games? It's like, the preview program isn't about getting stuff early. It's about helping test shit.
So that when it goes public, it works.
Yeah, it's like they tested DLC capabilities with Borderlands, which included all the DLC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you notice, if you have the original Mass Effect, if you bought the DLC on the Xbox 360, it works on the one now.
I saw pictures. I actually, what the fuck? How do I have it installed twice? It's funny because the timing is I'm going through my games list to see if there's anything I need to like gear up.
What's installed twice?
Mass Effect.
Do you have an external?
Yeah.
Is one on external, one on internal?
No, they're both on the external. That's so random. But
is one disc and one digital?
No, you know what's funny is I've never played the Mass Effect series, and I hate myself for it, but it went on sale for like $4, I think, on the 360. So what I did was I bought it on the 360, and then I installed it on the one so that I could stream it.
I was so bummed because I could have sworn I bought it when it was $4, and I've been looking like, where the fuck is Matt? I never bought it, son of a bitch.
Oh, really? You know what? I just uninstalled one, and they both uninstalled. So maybe you did buy it, and it's weird like mine is right now.
No, huh. I completely spaced out, and I forgot to buy it. Like, I that legit happens, because I have it on disc, so I'm sure at one point I was like, fuck it, I have it on disc. It's not like I'm going to play it often, which is true.
So because that was one thing I was wondering about is if you had stuff on disc, if it would be backward compatible, because it would.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because I
You just have to install it onto your one.
Yep. You have to pop the disc in. It downloads the new version of the game, and then you still need the disc as your license.
Yeah. Okay. You can't just go to the ready to install list. That makes sense.
Yep.
That's what I was thinking. Because I was like, oh, that would suck if like, you know. I can get stuff because it's digital.
Yeah, now let's discuss backwards compatibility on the PS4. First, you get your credit card information, and then you go to PlayStation Now, and then you rent games.
Okay. I didn't even know that it was backward compatibility now, because it wasn't originally,
technically,
right?
Not backwards compatibility. It's game renting. You're renting PS3 games.
Something from launch?
No, it's a service, PlayStation Now, where you can pay like $4 to rent a game for a day or something stupid. I hate PS Now. It is such a even games you own, you can't just play them. You have to re-rent them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And there's no purchase option. It's just you can rent it for a month, but you can't buy it.
I don't understand, like, there's so many decisions that's like developers or companies make that I'm just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, you're just pissing so many sales away. You're an idiot.
people blindly praise the PlayStation, and I don't understand.
Xbox
it.
Makes a lot of mistakes too, but
yeah, but they're fixing a lot of theirs.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair enough.
Anyway, two more games to talk about.
Yeah, sorry. I think this time it's my fault. I'm derailing everything. Sorry.
Dude, that's how our show is. If you haven't listened to it,
shit,
every
2:30.
Every episode is just nothing but being off topic.
I've listened to a couple. And yeah, I feel you.
Next game to talk about is Overlord Fellowship of the Evil from Codemasters. Mm-hmm. It is priced at $23.49 unless that's been fixed or updated. It might be a pricing glitch like Fat City was at $18.49. But for now, just expect $25 for the game.
It was $18.49? I know it was $25 here in Canada.
Well, that's because you're in Canada.
Yeah, it could be because the dollar's fucked up right now.
Overlord, a lot of people are kind of shitting on it online right now because of one major thing. It doesn't play like Overlord. It's got the look, it's got the characters, the minions, the writing. Rihanna Pratchett came back to do the writing on this one, and it shows because it is hilarious. The writing is fantastic, witty. It's fantastic. It just does not play like the original Overlord games, which to many people is a letdown because they loved the strategy elements of those original games. Me, I like the hack and slash of the original games, and that's what Overlord Fellowship of Evil is. It is a straight up dungeon hack and slash game.
Yeah. Well, if you like that element, then that's awesome.
Yeah.
I could definitely see, yeah, if you're a strategy fan, then. Yeah. But I mean, that's, I guess, the risk with sequels, right? If you give them the exact same thing, they're going to complain this exact same thing. If you remove the strategy, they're going to bitch that there's no strategy. And if you remove the hack and slash, they're going to bitch there's no hack and slash.
Plus, they went for a smaller digital title as opposed to a full $60 retail title, which I'm sure influenced development as well.
For sure.
The game still feels like Overlord to me. The hack and slashing feels good. I think the game could use Rumble. I don't know if it's just not working on my end or if it's just not in the game. But like when you're hitting enemies, I wish it had that thump of hitting someone.
Yeah, for sure. That's kind of weird.
I think that's my only normally if you hit an enemy in a game, there's like a very slight pause to
have
that impact.
Well, that's the whole point of Rumble, is to immerse you a little bit more, and it works.
It is missing that, but it's still
stupid question. But was your controller like a bit dead when you played? Because
no.
I know that it sometimes. Okay,
no,
that's weird.
Like I said, it might be something. Maybe I could try a different controller, or maybe it's the, like I didn't see any Rumble options in the game.
It's weird, man. Because yeah, that's one thing. Actually, especially with the one controller, it's so much better than the 360.
Yeah.
The first thing I noticed in Trials Fusion is, like, if you land a jump wrong, you feel it in your controller. Like, you can feel the weight of your bike once you, that makes sense? Once you, like, really learn the game, you can feel the weight.
It's like driving in Forza with the impulse triggers. It just feels right.
Yeah, it feels much more immersive, I find.
Yeah, I don't know if it's my controller that wasn't working right or if it's just not. It's possible they don't have Rumble in the game. You never know.
Yeah, you never know.
It might have just been like, we don't need Rumble. That's a last generation feature, right, Sony? overall, like, I have very little gripes for the new Overlord. I am having a blast with it. It does support 4 players. There's 4 different playable characters in the game, and each levels up individually. You can level up your minions to make them stronger, to be able to carry, I guess, or summon more of them. You pick up cubes that are kind of like your inventory, and you can carry 2 of each color, and that means you could summon 2 of each. I think you can have a max of, I want to say, 12 or 16 minions at once.
Holy shit, okay. A lot. Yeah. Or it sounds like a lot. I mean,
I want to say 12. There's brown minions, which are basically grunts. They fight side by side with you. There are blue ones, which are healers. There are green ones, which are kind of like stealthy ninja sneak attack dudes. And then there are red ones where if you summon them like during a battle, they will charge directly at the enemy, or well, technically directly in front of you, no matter where the enemy is, and they will explode when they hit things.
I kind of like the fact that you have so many different varieties.
Yeah, and
that's pretty crazy.
You can call them all at once. They have little towers in the game that you hit them, and they shoot out either a specific color cube of the minion to pick up, or they have rainbow flashing ones that will spit out all of them. It's fucking fun to be in like a boss stage and just hit the thing and keep mashing the X button to call all of them out at once and just keep sending them. Like, do my dirty work. It's not strategic, but it's fun. There are a handful of puzzles. Most of them are switch puzzles where it's just hit the switch, watch something happen, summon a minion to hit a specific switch behind a color barrier. There are, I don't want to say race segments, but it's kind of like you'll hit an area and it'll be like run, and you have to run from point A to point B, dodging obstacles in the way, picking up little crystals to extend your timer. And if you collect all the crystals and hit the finish area, you get a bonus at the end of the stage.
That's actually really cool.
And of course, achievements.
Oh, cool. For sure. Those would drive me crazy, I'm sure. I'm sure it's like the first level, nail it first try, and then after that, it's like, GG, you're just going to rip your hair out.
The game is pretty good with achievements, too. There are a healthy number early in the game.
Okay. But
I love the game. I think it is absolutely worth picking up if you're a fan of hack and slash games. If you have friends to either do couch or online co-op, perfect game to pick up. A lot of people have been asking me, what do you prefer, Forced or Overlord? And I can't pick because they seem so so close. Like they just feel kind of like the same genre, but there's so much different between the two that it's hard to make a choice between them. Like one is more a puzzler arena combat, and the other is a dungeon hack and slash, point A to point B, complete a stage. And
yeah,
there's
that's the thing.
Story.
In Force, you can't spawn minions, but
yeah,
you didn't mention anything about escalating puzzles, so I assume Overlord doesn't get harder.
Not that I've seen, but I've only played myself, so I have no idea. I'm sure there will be more enemies, but
yeah. But yeah, that's one of the things I liked in Enforced is that it scales up with the amount of players you have. And
yeah,
again,
dynamic levels.
I think it was in part one, but I'll say it again just in case. But I compared it to the Lara Croft games, like Guardian of Light and Temple of Osiris.
Yeah,
and Chris was saying that was one of the influences, and I definitely saw that because that game too. Like I played it solo, and then I played it with friends for achievements or whatever, and I would go back with, you know, my three friends, because I wanted a four-player achievement. I'm like, what the fuck puzzle is this? Because
everything's
scaled
different.
Up. And yeah, and in this, like, you'll jump, you know, that gap. Then with four players, okay, well, this guy needs to tie a rope to this thing, and then you're going to have to walk across the rope, and then, you know?
Yeah,
it's pretty damn cool.
I did notice when I was playing with XBLA fans in Forced, it was significantly harder with more people. Because there were more enemies, which means it was easier to get overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah, it really, really relies on teamwork and not just barging in. Patience definitely pays off.
Yeah, if you can only pick up Overlord or Forced, I would probably lean towards Forced because it's a little bit cheaper.
Yeah,
but if you can afford them both, get them both.
Yeah, definitely.
Hashtag YoLaughed, you only live a few times. Also get Forced because they need sales, so help out the boys in Beta Dwarf.
I mean, honestly, that game deserves it. It's really fucking fun.
It does. I'm glad they came on.
Man, that was so cool talking to them.
I know. That's what I love about this show.
Yeah, I know you're used to it, but that was the first time I actually like looked to the developer like with voice. It was really cool.
And they're all foreign. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like the same as music, man. A lot of well, besides rap, like I'm a huge hip hop head, but like bands, I usually listen to stuff from like Finland and all that. Europeans are just the shit, man.
Do you just listen to Finnish metal bands?
Not only, but I'm just saying, like, if I'm going to listen to rock or something, I'd rather listen to, like, him or Entwined than... Oh, that's a lie. Like, I'll listen to, like, Disturbed and lose my shit because they're amazing. But in general, I tend to prefer European.
I have so many friends who hate Disturbed now because David Draymond is, like, a big Gamergate supporter.
Gamergate.
Yeah. The one subject I don't want to discuss on this show. Okay. I just think it's funny that people hate Disturbed now because of that. It's like,
I don't even know what it is, so I'll just say, okay.
That's better that you don't know what it is. I'll be over here enjoying my Breaking Benjamin while people make fun of me in Linkin Park.
Yo, Linkin Park's shit. I still love them.
Dude, their new album is so fucking good.
Yeah, they're amazing live. I saw them with, I want to say it was the tour for 1,000 Suns. And man, it was good. And Pendulum opened for them. They were crazy.
Damn.
Pendulum killed it so hard that I was like, I don't care if Linkin Park for some reason doesn't come on stage. I'm good.
Did you listen to The Hunting Party, their new one?
A couple of times. I really liked the song with Rakim. Yeah. That was fucking awesome. I did not expect Rakim to be on a Linkin Park.
I love
shit about that.
I love the fact that they remembered they had a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
That's my favorite part about the new album. The one with Paige Hamilton is so good.
Man, it's, yeah, I still love them. But yeah, the new Disturbed album, holy shit, dude.
Nothing with Paige Hamilton. And then Rebellion with Darren Malachi, and that's in Rock Band 4.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then Wastelands is in Guitar Hero Live. So Linkin Park getting all the love lately, which is awesome.
Yo, seriously. It's funny because I haven't heard anything, like, besides me listening to them here and there, I haven't heard anything about them in a while now.
I don't care what anyone says. That's people awesome. Can make fun of me. It's like, oh, you're so emo. Crawling in my... Whatever, man. The new album is good. So fucking good.
That's awesome.
It's like,
I definitely have to listen to it again. Like, I picked it up and all that, and Linkin Park's one of those bands where I actually buy every one of their albums because I just, you know, they deserve it.
Hey, man, I was a fan of them since they were still called Hybrid Theory.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I remember getting Hybrid Theory, but I didn't know about them when they were Hybrid Theory.
Yeah, I had a chance to see them in Philadelphia.
Nice.
Tickets were... Well, I had a chance. I missed out on it. Tickets to go see Linkin Park were $12.
Mm-hmm.
And makes I was sense. Like, oh, man, they're a cool band. I wish I could, you know, get off work or whatever it was. I'm sure I'll have another chance. And now tickets are like $200 to get good tickets to a Linkin Park show because they're fucking massive now.
Yeah, I got lucky when I went a couple of years ago. I think it was like $70, and I literally got it the day before. I was out for dinner for a friend's birthday, and he's like, my friend might bail on Linkin Park tomorrow. I know you like them. You want to come? I was like, sure, here's money.
I'd love to see him. Just the fact that I missed out when they were doing a show in like a tiny, I think it was the Electric Factory, just a tiny little concert venue for $12. And now look at them.
Yeah. And it's so much, it's awesome when you see acts that you really like, or even if you're like so into them, like a really small venue. That's one of the things I love about being an underground fan, mostly with rap, is that almost every show I go to, I get to kick it with the guy when he goes off stage.
Nice.
Or, you know, and I have some of them, like one of my favorite rappers, Sean Strange, is from New York. I fucking just hung out with him at his merch table the entire night because it was awesome.
Oh, the one band, Our Cast, I actually found out about them through Rock Band. They had songs on Rock Band Network. I drove out to see them, me and my sister and her one friend, and after the show, we're just hanging out on their tour bus, bullshitting for like an hour.
Nice. That's awesome.
So that was fun.
I remember actually playing, was it Guitar Hero 2, was it, that had a song by Lacuna Coil? And I had just found out about them when I was like finding out about like Finnish bands and like European bands and whatever, and they're from Italy, I believe.
Something like that.
And yeah, I remember just like I found out about them, and like 2 seconds later, I play guitar, and I'm like, "Oh my god, it's them!" It was awesome. It was so fun.
Oh shit! Speaking of foreign people, one more game to talk about. I think they're
nice.
Maybe they're not foreign. No, I think they're from California. I'm fucking up. I'm thinking of someone else.
Well, they're foreign to me, so
yeah. Wasteland 2 Director's Cut from In Exile Entertainment. I talked about it a little bit last week. I did want to kind of give more of a final verdict on it this week. You may remember last week I was talking about how much I really enjoyed the game and I was having a lot of fun with it. It was only $40 and worth picking up. Well, this week I'm going to completely reaffirm everything I said and change it from a you should buy it to a you really fucking need to buy it.
You seem really fucking excited over this one.
I had my eye on it because I love RPGs. I'm a big RPG fan. It looked really, really cool. It has a top-down viewpoint, kind of like Diablo, but okay. When you go into battles, it switches to a turn-based strategy game, which kind of like it had me worried at the beginning because I've played stuff like Final Fantasy Tactics, Vandal Hearts, Fire Emblem, where battles in strategy games could take 20, 30 minutes for a battle. And I was worried.
Like disgusting.
Because that's the whole basis of the game is those battles. Mm-hmm. Well, in Wasteland 2, they are incredibly fast paced. You know, you get in a battle.
Like how fast, like Child of Light type pace or?
No. It's still turn-based strategy. You're going to spend, 2-3 minutes on a fight maybe. Okay. But it's still quick enough to get in, get out, and keep exploring and having fun without bogging the game down or making it feel too long. Mm-hmm. Exploration is fantastic. You have a ton of different skills. And just because you can do something in the game doesn't mean that that's what you need to do. Like, say there's a door, and you need to get in the door, and you got to find a key. You don't feel like finding a key? Well, maybe your lockpicking skill is good enough, and you can do it that way. Lockpicking skill is not good enough? Maybe you can, like, shoulder tackle the door down with your destruction skill. If that's not strong enough, maybe you can, hit it with your knife and, chop the door down. That doesn't work? Throw some goddamn dynamite at it, and it's going to blow open.
That's really cool how you have options, and you're saying that it's very, very, there are reactions for your actions.
Yes, there. If you do stuff, you can expect something to come from it. The one quest
whether
I
it's
did,
good or bad.
Yeah, one quest I'm at now is there's two different factions fighting over a nuclear bomb that's being stored somewhere else, and you have a decision of who to send it to.
Okay.
Or you can just leave and not send it anywhere. And
nice.
I've gotten to the point, this is kind of spoilerish. I'm going to be as vague as I can, but if you send it to either of them, the town or the area that they were fighting over is either destroyed if you send it to the one, or it's hostile takeover from the other.
Okay.
And
that
it's like
sense.
Evil hostile takeover. And either way, you really can't explore that area again. So
yeah, you basically like burnt your bridge and you're fucked.
So I saved it there. I'm like, gee, which one does this go to? And I lucked out because there's an achievement if you send it to either one of them. So I saved it, sent it to one, reloaded, sent it to the other, got two achievements.
Nice.
And then I went back to the place with both saves and it was just like gone. Like it was...
Fuck.
So on my main save, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to hold off on this.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned when we were recording earlier, if you have commitment issues in games and decisions, you're going to have a hard time with this one.
But that's the thing. Like I said, you mentioned how long that you were playing. And
I've already put over 30 hours into it.
Yeah. And you've gotten about 140, you said, of the 1,000 gamer score?
Something like that. It's...
So... Yeah, I know. Well, you know me; I'm an achievement whore. But
this isn't achievement whore friendly.
Yeah, and not even just for achievements, but just as far as like beating it. Like I know Witcher 3 looks amazing, but I'm never going to play it because fuck achievements. But just like I can't play a 2-hour game; I just don't have time. Like already, it takes me a week or two to finish a 10-hour game because I don't play just one game. I try to stream every indie game that comes out. So if it's a busy week, like a 10-hour game could take a fucking while.
Yeah, I will say that Wasteland 2 will require a significant time investment. Even the character creation at the beginning is insane. I didn't mess with it because I was new to the Wasteland series, so I was just like, I'll take the preset default party. And I kind of wish that I took the time to make my own party, because now I've put skills or points into different skills that other followers I found along the way already have, so it's like I feel I've wasted points along the way.
For sure.
So if I ever play it a second time, I'll know, like, have one person specialize in this, one person specialize in this. I mainly kind of thought it would be a good distraction until Fallout 4, but there's a good chance I might prefer it over Fallout 4. Because it is just that goddamn good.
Like, that's what I was actually going to say, because I kind of made it seem like, oh, I'm not playing this game because of achievements. One thing that I was going to say is I like the fact that it's a $40 game and you're getting this much out of it, because there's some games that you get for $60 and if you sit down for 10 hours, you can crush it and then you're done.
Like The Order, that you could beat in like 8, if that.
About fucking 17 minutes. Watch a cutscene and then call it a day.
Pretty much.
That one was what? I think I heard it could be done in like as low as 5?
Something like that. I put more time into it than that. I haven't played it ever since it melted my PS4, but...
Oh, yeah, well, that's a good reason not to
play it. Different story for a different day, which happened many, many times over the past couple of months.
God damn.
You could go back. Look for the episode, My PS4 Tried to Murder Me. That's the one where I talk about it.
This flew out and... You actually like a frisbee?
No, it started smoking.
Oh, nice.
My PS4 was smoking.
Blaze up.
Yeah, 420 blaze it.
Mm-hmm.
PS 420 blaze it.
Exactly. It's that's awesome. That's awesome. Can we make that a thing?
Oh, God. Possibly.
Like, instead of, we'll be like Santa, but instead of like giving the kids like presents, we'll just sneak down the chimney and just like light their PS4 on fire and be like, get it, it's a joke. Right?
You know how people have like little messages pop up on their Twitch streams when they get a new subscriber? You should just have like their name and it'll be like Fun Dude 36 420 or PS420 blaze it.
That's awesome.
Oh my God.
I could enter that command and it'd take 2 seconds. That's awesome. I'll make one just for you for the next time you hop on.
Nice.
I'm lying. I'll forget because I'm dumb.
I wouldn't do it either. I'm lazy.
Nice. There's that too.
I do love how we hopped on here to record like an hour long addendum to
I stopped looking at the time.
Our other shit. We're at like an hour 40 now. So we recorded longer than we lost.
And we also completely went off topic 17 million times. But I think this time was like 100% my fault.
Well, no, that's an SML staple. We are not allowed to stay on topic. Seriously, listen to any episode ever from SML.
I don't know. I listened to a couple and it was decently on topic.
Well, the interview
specials.
It doesn't
help that I was listening to it at work as background noise because I didn't have enough time, so I listened to it as much as I could. So I probably missed some.
Well, I guess we should try wrapping it up. I do want to say our music this week is going to be from Tales of Zestiria. I mentioned that I did an unboxing of it that is available on our YouTube channel right now.
I really like that one.
You can watch me unbox Tales of Zestiria Collector's Edition for the PS4.
It has an instruction booklet.
It has a fucking instruction manual. Like, cool, look, here's figurines, here's an art book, here's a steel book. Oh my God, it's a fucking instruction manual. What the hell is the...
You know what it looks like? That package is so well made. Like, when I was watching the unboxing, it reminded me, it looked like a fucking, like, DVD box set. The thing is huge, because there's just so much shit crammed into it. It's amazing.
I will say, Namco's done really good with their Tales Collector's Editions. They're all packaged really nice like that.
I would hope so for a collector's edition.
I'm kind of surprised Tales of Symphonia had like a thicker cardboard stock box where this was like just a flimsier cardboard box.
Okay.
Like you would get in any kind of collector edition, but the Symphonia one was like a hard, like if you set it on its side, it's not going to fold in. It was hard cardboard. Yeah. It was really nice. It's still awesome though, and I like the fact that I have such a high number out of 20,000.
Yeah, you almost got the 20,000, right?
Yeah,
it was 19.7 or 19.4?
I see here, because I have it right next to me. 19.731 out of 20,000.
That's insane.
I think that's almost as cool as having something in the first 1,000.
Pretty much, yeah. Instead of getting one of the first, you got one of the last. So
yeah. So you can watch me unbox that, and then you could watch me unbox Dragon Quest Heroes.
You got the copy that was made by the guy that was like, oh my god, is this fucking done yet?
Yeah. There's just a note inside that says, fuck you.
Fuck you, man. My hands are bleeding.
I hate my job.
I got blisters on my fingers.
I'm kind of disappointed. There was a soundtrack disc with the game, but nothing that had the track list.
Oh, that's fun.
So I was very happy that when I popped it in, Winamp was like, yo, bitch, we got this.
I really liked when Skyward Sword Zelda came with the soundtrack, and it was like a 25-year soundtrack, and I was like jizzing my pants, and then it was like 7 songs. I was like, okay, and the sound volume was so fucking low. Like, I ripped it and put it on my iPod, and when my program was done ripping it, it was just, like, the peak volume was at like 49%.
Wow.
I listened to it on my headphones. I'm like, cool, I can't ever listen to this ever. Like, cause at least on my stereo, if it's quiet, I can like blast it. And headphones, if it's quiet on max, you're just fucked.
Toss that like, shit cool, in thanks, Audacity guys. And bump up the volume.
Nah, then you just fuck around with the quality. And
rip it as a wave. I ain't about import that it life. As a wave. I'll see if I could do it. I'm bored. I ain't got shit to do. It's 3 in the morning and I'm 49. Re-recording a podcast.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that. No, but...
Tails soundtrack is pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's got 12 tracks on it, which doesn't seem like too much, but one of the tracks is like 11 minutes long, so...
Okay. Yeah, at least that's one of the things that the Zelda soundtrack I go in for it. The songs were long.
Yeah.
But considering how many... like epic pieces in how many games when you have like 7 or 8 tracks, I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
I remember getting that Skyward Sword. I got the bundle with the controller for $5.
Holy shit. Was it Skyward or Twilight that had the soundtrack? It was Skyward, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it had the soundtrack and then it also had the bundle with the gold controller.
That's awesome. Yeah, I forgot about that.
This was back when Kmart still had video games and they were doing these gaming coupons where you would buy a game and get like $15 off a future game purchase or $25. I saved up enough of them where Skyward Sword was $5.
That's insane.
It was straight.
You know, we had some shit here once or twice where it was like you trade 2 or 3 games, no matter what game, and you could get a free game. It was like
here's Madden 06.
No, but it was like I think there was Far Cry, there was GTA. Not Battlefield. It was like big fucking games. And my buddy just went like they didn't care what games it were that they were. So he basically just like brought a whole bunch of shit. And I think he brought like 360 games. Or was it one? I don't know. Point being, he just brought a whole bunch of old games and he leaves the place with like brand spanking new games. He's like, wow. Yeah, I just brought some like $5 games and he gave me you know, Far Cry on the release. I was like, what the fuck?
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's fucking ridiculous.
I ended up getting the Far Cry 4 from Ubisoft with the collector edition, and then I also bought the Steelbook edition, but just the Steelbook that they sold for like $15 or whatever, just to have a Steelbook, because I love Steelbooks. Nice. I am a whore for Steelbooks.
Nice. Oh, man. I actually was talking about it the other day. Yeah, I was watching Irish's stream. He was... streaming the game and I was like, fuck, I still need to go back and get my last few achievements, and I just never find the time, but I like don't mind playing it because it's just so good.
Good times.
It's just so good. That was the first game actually that I've ever played before release. I played it, there was an event here in Montreal and I played it 5 weeks before it came out, 5 minutes, and I broke the game. And it was funny awesome. Because I was actually going to ask like, because I wanted to be at least until I could go streaming with full time, I want to try to be a tester. And I was going to ask somebody like, hey, who do I see about, you know, applying to be a tester? I get my 5 minutes and I just like fell in between a rock and a building. And I was like, yeah, I was actually going to ask you, where can I go to talk to somebody about testing?
And that's like, awesome.
I don't know. I was like, cool. Thanks, bro. You're the best.
Well, I think we're going to have to call it here since we're about 1:45 when we were trying Holy to fill shit. An hour.
This is 3 a.m. my time.
This is almost as long as the original podcast was. With a bonus interview at the beginning.
Nice.
We definitely got to get you back on because this was awesome. Talking with you earlier was awesome. And
hey man, it was awesome to be here, and I definitely I'm glad to hear that. I'd definitely be more than willing to come back.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to get you back on. And if there's ever any interviews that Pappy can't make, I could always try hitting you up and be like, "What are you doing at this time?" You'll be like, "Nothing." Want to interview a guy? Sure.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you know me, I'll be streaming, but if you message me early enough,
you could postpone the stream and be like, "Bitches, I'm talking on a podcast."
Yeah, and I'll stream when I'm done, like I did today. Yeah. I started streaming at 11 instead of
and then
8.
Podcast again because fucking things.
Yeah, because technology is the best.
All right,
always,
well,
always reliable.
Well, do you have anything else to say on the show?
Well, yeah, again, I guess I'll give you the same outro I did last time. Where thanks for having me on, and I definitely look forward to being on again.
Look for Shizblacka on Twitch, on Instagram, Twitter, Grindr, what else?
Yeah, I would say if you want to catch me doing a live stream, the best bet is to follow me on twitch.tv/Shizblacka. And then if you want to catch streams that you missed, my YouTube channel is also Shizblacka, and I also do other videos like achievement guides or recaps of what I played throughout the week, stuff like that. And then I'll always post on Instagram and Twitter what I'm playing before I play it. If you're interested in watching me get ripped apart by games and making dick jokes while doing it. And then definitely I would say check out Forced. That was a very, very fun game, and it was really cool talking to the guy. And yeah, thanks again for having me on, man. It was really, really fun.
See, that's why you work on this podcast, because you make dick jokes, we make dick jokes, everything is better with dick jokes.
Penis! penis.